Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight. Good to be with you. Another Life Prophetic Talk Show where we really, really do it more than we talk about it, and that is prophesying to you personally. And there you go. If you want some of that, you're in the right place. You want some good ministry, be lifted up, built up, and get the word of the Lord for what's going on in our world, what's going on in America, what's going on in the political arena. Just check in once in a while, and you'll, I think you'll see. God knows what he's talking about. And he shows his prophets, and the prophets share it, and it's just a lot of fun. I think you'll really enjoy it. I really see the turning of things happening in a way that, I don't know if I've ever noticed it before or quite like this. I've been in the political, involved in political information. Now, speaking about presidents and political leaders and that kind of thing, and have been very involved in it, praying and prophesying, that kind of thing. Some of you who've been around a while, you can understand some of that. But I wanted to kind of begin to turn the page since we had our last election with President Trump losing and the Democrats just really outsmarted him, I guess you would say. They call it cheating and all that, but I think they just got smarter than however they want to get, however they want to look at it. It's just smarter than them, whether it was right or wrong or whatever, they got smarter than them. And it's sad, and it's not what any of us wanted. I didn't really want it. But God has other plans, and there's a reason I'm going to explain to you tonight why we had to turn the page on that from a biblical standpoint. For the most part, I don't have a lot of information prepared biblically, but the understanding of it, I think you'll be very easily see what I'm talking about. You'll understand why the book of Acts is extremely important and why the the political arena really is never going to be on our side completely or for long, because the political arena is defiled for one reason, one purpose, and that is that the political arena is not how God governs things. It's just not how it works. Never has been, and it never will be. I mean, it's a temporary fix, Rome ruled the earth when Jesus was ruled, they ruled also Jerusalem. And they had political, everything was, even with the religious people, the political arena just kind of, it all kind of began to intertwine with the, and influence the religious people. The leaders of that day, the Levitical priesthood and the Sanhedrin and all the Pharisees and all the people, they were influenced, mainly because there wasn't a ruler, and the ruler being a man of God. Sorry, ladies, Jesus is a man. I think most of you know that. And so we have to kind of stick with what God has chosen and not what we choose. It's not that women can't rule. Of course they can. Sometimes they rule our children pretty well, and a lot of other things too. So it's not that at all, but it's just that Jesus Christ is a man, a male, and he's going to rule, and the church is going to rule with him. It's really amazing that the church is going to rule with the Lord, which is, the bride. So the bride's going to rule, with him in the earth. And so it's going to be an amazing show. It's going to be an amazing thing that goes on. And so right now, I think that because America is the largest nation in the world, what has happened in America, especially the way that it happened, is going to show you how God intervened. God. I know some of you are going to call me a blasphemer tonight, whatever, but I am not. And so how God intervened in allowing Trump to become president for the second term, he intervened in it. The prophets didn't like it, most of them. Nobody really liked it. I voted for Trump, all that, but God intervened. Now, I'm going to share some with you tonight. It may blow your mind a little bit, so get your seatbelt on or maybe take it off and get ready to run around the room a little bit. However, things affect you. All right. So we are seeing that that the way God has set up things, we know for sure, I think every one of us can agree that Jesus Christ is not a political person, right? King David was not a political person. He was a king. He ruled as a king, but he had the heart. You know, Christ was called the Son of David. You know, so you know that David was not a politician. He was a king. And a king rules different than a politician does. You know, Rome was, you know, a political force, and they had, of course, they had, you know, an emperor who ruled, but they also had a political called the Senate, people who made decisions and that kind of thing. And so even though it sounds biblical in some senses, it really wasn't because it was in the order that God had set. And they didn't have their belief system upon God's word and what God has set up. So, therefore, we end up with a defiled system right away. So America has had that. Donald Trump was doing a lot of good things for the country. We've been looking at America as kind of a, you know, our nation that we really want somebody to politically rule us, politically. Because in America, the only way you can rule America is by being a politician. Is that right or not? I mean, they don't even want Christian. You know, when I've seen Christian people who spoke the name of Christ or were ex-pastor, maybe a pastor in their life, and they were a man of God, they got more rejected because they were a pastor. Like, oh, we don't think America will want a pastor, so we're not going to get you in the, you know, even though you're a Republican, we're not going to get you in the nomination because we're not going to stand with you because we don't think America will vote in a religious man, even a good God-fearing Christian man. And so what we're going to see here is the reason that God intervened in America and didn't let Trump come in is because he does not want America or anything else ruled by, you know, he had a lot of great things. I liked him in so many ways. And he was for Israel. He was against abortion, working on that. He was working on a lot of great things. Had a lot of great things he was working on. But the reason that was, I think, made such an open show of is because God wasn't with the process, because the process is Jesus Christ being the ruler of the earth, being the ruler of America. God wants to rule America, and he's not going to rule it through some foul-mouth guy who talks like he's for Israel, even though God, I think God liked him because he liked Israel. But God's not going to, you know, have some foul-mouthed person who we all may like and appreciate because he's on our side. He's not going to have that. He's not going to have some foul-mouthed, you know, person who talks the way Trump talked. So, I like his talk in so many ways, except he did kind of have a bit of a foul mouth on it. And I think that the reason that we all loved it was because, not because of his foul mouth, but because he was on our side, basically. And he was for some Christian things. But one of the reasons Trump got elected because he wasn't a Christian, right? He was not a Christian person. He was a person who believed in some good Christian thing, but he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't an outspoken Bible-believing person, though he carried his mama's Bible and talked about his mama's Bible. It was nice. It was fun. It was pretty cool to watch it. But the reason God intervened is because he doesn't want a politician to rule anything, no matter how good they are. Jesus Christ and someone like Jesus, which, you know, there's nobody like Jesus, but a man, a person like Jesus, is supposed to, you know, rule America. And and rule the world, which Jesus is going to do that. And they're going to get the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be like their Christ, right? Isn't it amazing they're going to call it, we call it the Antichrist. We call our Messiah who's going to come rule the earth and rule the whole world eventually, the Christ. And so they're looking for the Messiah. They're really looking for a political person. They're not looking for a preacher. They're not looking for a Christ person, right? It's one of the reasons Donald Trump made it in, because he wasn't a Christ person. He was on Christian side in many ways, but he wasn't a Christ person. I mean, come on. Are you asleep out there? He wasn't a Christ person. He was on our side on a lot of things, and we liked that. We liked that a bit. It was awesome. But what God wants to do is he wants to raise up rulers who rule by the power and the love of God and by the word of God. And Trump was not going to rule by the word of God, even though he did a lot of great things. He was not the kind of person that was going to be like Jesus and, you know, dominate his and rule by the word of God, right? I think everybody knows that. Everybody knows it. So the reason that God intervened in that is because he doesn't want us to have a policy. He wants the church of Jesus Christ to rule. Now, because we're going to rule and reign with him, right? We're the bride, and the bride is the female, that type of thing, and we're going to rule with Christ, the male, the man, the Messiah. You know, so we're in typology, we're the bride of Christ. So we got a male and a female type, it's symbolically, that are going to rule together, and I think that's the way it should be in marriage. I think that it should be that with a man and a woman. I think that's the way it should be. I think that you know, when a man loves his woman, you know, and his woman is not trying to take over and be the control freak all the time, then, you know, we rule together. And, you know, so that's the way God has it. And it's a beautiful thing when it works that way, according to the heart, you know, of men. If their hearts aren't with God, it'll work, but if not, it won't. So we are seeing a transition right now where we have a president who is, you know, I don't know where he's at morally on his beliefs on, you know, abortion. But his party, the Democratic Party, is definitely hard-leaning toward abortion and leans toward. So even though he may not be for abortion that much, he publicly, you know, has to come in agreement with it or they'll crucify him, basically. So what we're going to see is we're going to see through the Biden revolution, we're going to see God begin to show how the Church of Jesus Christ, in the midst of a government that is not for us, because that's what God wanted, a government in America that's not for us, only because of where we are in world events, only for that reason. Other than that, you know, it might be different. So America is not going to rule the world. Right, Jerusalem is going to be ruling with Jesus on the throne when that happens, and we must begin to think like that in order to get us there, in order to understand where we're going and how we're going to get there, and why God, as you might blasphemously say, I'm saying tonight, intervened and put Joseph Biden as president, because he does not want the church to be looking to a political leader who even may be on our side, but has kind of a foul mouth and, you know, and is definitely not a good Christian. I mean, Trump was not a good Christian, right? I mean, he was a great guy in a lot of ways and on our side. We love him for that, but he was not a Christ man. And people tried to make a thing about he was and all this, but the reason he got taken out wasn't because he was a bad man. It's because that God wants us to not look to politicians like even Donald Trump. Does not want us looking to a man unless they are obviously and openly, without shame, without any kind of shame, founded on the word of the living God. That's where we're headed, and that's why Jesus intervened in America and said, I don't want the church to look to a man in the political arena, any kind of man. So I'm going to allow somebody who's of a Democratic Party to rule, who's for abortion and may or may not be for Israel. We don't know where they're at on all that right now. We don't know what's going to go on with all that stuff. Because God doesn't want us, just like the book of Acts. When we talk about the book of Acts, the book of Acts was the battle between the government of Rome ruling and asking the church really to bow down to it and honor it. And you see the struggle and the battle going on, even with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys, Daniel, and with Nebuchadnezzar, where they said, you know, O king, if our God doesn't bow us, does not deliver us, if he hadn't come and save us, we're still not going to bow to you. And so, basically, the book of Acts was that. The church was saying, yeah, you're Rome, yeah, you're all that, and yeah, you're ruling our nation right now, but one of these days, Jesus is going to come back, not Trump, not some other good, even, you know, good people, but, you know, a man of God who his life is based on the Word of God. He rules strictly and directly from the Word of God with love. This is what the mindset God is trying to get us to transfer over into, and you can see all these people are fighting it. They're fighting it. You know why they're fighting it? Because they don't understand it. Maybe like you don't understand it. Maybe you're still for the Trump thing. You're still hoping. Your hope is still in a political man coming into America. Now, what does that equal out to? That we're looking for a political man to rule the world, basically. And the Antichrist is going to be a political man. He's going to have some religious thing about him because he's going to have a false prophet. They won't call him a false prophet. They're going to probably call him a true prophet, right? Oh, we have a prophet over here, whether it's the Catholic Church or the Pope or what. I don't know exactly, but God didn't show me exactly. But anyway, so America was delivered from looking to a political man, no matter how wonderful he was on our side. You see, because God doesn't want us thinking like that. He wants us to be like the book of Acts, where the Church of Jesus Christ comes up and begins to depend on God and God alone, because we can't depend on the Democratic Party. We can't. We can't depend on them. We don't know where they're going to take us. They're going to take us to one world government. That's going to save the world. So their Savior is going to be the one world government, and ours is going to be Jesus Christ and him only, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not coming back, y'all. God is not going to allow him to come back because people are going to trust in him. Christians are going to trust in him. God does not want us to trust in anybody. He wants to get our hope in Jesus and start doing it right now, because it's right around the corner. And if you and I don't start looking to Jesus now, we're not going to be looking to him then. Donald Trump is a diversion at this point. God bless him. I still like the guy. But the reason God was so gracious to transfer everything over to Biden and the Democratic Party is for a reason. And unless you see that, unless you understand it, unless you begin to know that, you're going to be looking the wrong direction for your help. Your help doesn't come from Donald Trump and a president who might be on your side. Your help comes from the Lord. And he's going to allow a government, just like he did in the book of Acts, because he was getting the church to trust in Jesus, not in who might be a good believe in, you know, even the Roman Herod tried to set Jesus free, and what's his name, Pontius Pilate, tried to set Jesus free, right? But they still didn't believe in the government, but they tried because they didn't like what the Jews were doing. Back then, the fight was between the Romans and the Jews, because the Jews didn't want the Romans in there. And so under the law and all that, so there was the battle was going on. So the reason that they even liked Jesus was because they didn't like the Jews. And the reason they gave him over to the Jews was because, you know, Pontius Pilate and those guys, they were going to get in trouble for that, because they were there to make sure, keep order. So even then, Rome was fighting against the known church at that time, which really was church. It was Israel and the law. There was a battle between those because Israel didn't want him there, right? That's what they were believing Jesus to come back and do, was save him from Rome. And so here we are. We're believing some other guy to save us from Rome. Instead, Jesus says, I want you to refocus, get your mind off Trump, and get your mind on Jesus. Get your mind on the Lord, who's going to save you, who's cometh your help from heaven. And right now, the purpose of the church until Jesus does come back the empowerment of the church is going to be that we begin our rulership right now with Christ. Even though he's in heaven, he's still with us, and he's teaching us how to rule with him, how to get our eyes off political people ruling us. And because Jesus Christ, when he comes back, what kind of government is he going to have? He's not going to have a government where he's political. He's going to have a government that's totally based on the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Everything he's going to do is going to be about Jesus, 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 the Holy Spirit, and the Father. Nothing else. There ain't going to be any, well, let's compromise with the government here a little bit and see if we can't, you know, get some favors so they'll let us do what we want to do. Let us believe in what we want to believe in without persecution. There ain't going to be none of that. So why does God want us to start shifting over and quit looking to Trump or somebody like him to rule us? He's not going to allow it, friend. He's not going to allow it to happen. And it's a merciful move of God. And he's preparing us to saying, hey, get ready, because what we're going to see is the rulership of the church of Jesus Christ, just like in the book of Acts. The book of Acts was full of even the religious, you know, which we're going to see the Antichrist and the false prophet fighting the church. What was the false prophet back then? You might say, like Saul before he became Paul. He was kind of like part of the old prophet. You know, they weren't Antichrist, but they were kind of Antichrist because they killed Christ, right? And so at that time, the law was no longer it had been fulfilled. Christ fulfilled it. So now we don't look to the law for and the temple for our answers. We look to Jesus. We look to the Holy Spirit. We look to the Word of God. We look to the apostles and the prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. That's what God has set up in the church for us to rule and learn how to rule and reign and have a government that is totally unashamed of the Word of God and the way and the Holy Spirit and the things of God, that we be totally unashamed and totally, I mean, not, you know, over here cussing in 1 minute, you know, you blankety blank, yeah, okay, Christian, we're gonna give you some stuff over here, yeah, no abortion and I love Israel, you know. And thank God for that. I mean, it's beautiful, but you know what? That's not what God, that's mixed up and messed up as far as what God wants. Now, if we weren't on the verge of things happening for the kingdom of God on the earth and things going on like they are, then I would say that would be a great thing. But right now, it's not a great thing because God is trying to get our focus off of political people and things being run by politicians. And, oh, I hope they give us, the church, some favor. No, it's the church saying, we may not favor you, Antichrist and false prophet. We don't favor you. And we are a government within ourselves. The church of the living God is a government within itself. We rule through Christ's power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the book of Acts came about, when somebody came into the church and deliberately and willfully lied, you know, because they deliberately and willfully lied, they came into the throne room where Peter was and some of the other apostles, and they lied to Peter. They thought they were lying to Peter, and then Peter says, you're not lying to me, man. You're lying to God. What was that? That was the church ruling and reigning and with Christ at the right hand of the Father until he comes back, looking for his coming, ruling the kingdom and having a government where our nation and where our world is ruled by that government and not some, well, we hope they give us some favor, man. I hope Donald Trump really comes through with his word, like he said, and changes abortion and gets all that done for it. We hope that they do that for us. Oh, yeah, we're willing to compromise with a little homosexuality and a little bit of this and that, a little bit of that, but please do it. Please favor us, oh, would you? And we're beggars. God says my church are not beggars. They're rulers and reigners. They're going to rule and reign with Christ, and we learn to do it now. But we must change our minds and our thought process and start looking to how that looks. So what does God do? He raises up a government that's, you know, pretty much obviously not going to be on our side, so to speak. And they're going a different direction. They're going to form a one-world government. Friend, just get used to it. Quit being distracted with the enemy's distraction when God has already dealt with the Trump thing for a reason, because he didn't want the church looking at somebody who, oh, please, hey, we suck up to you. Will you please give us something that we need? I mean, can you give us keep our nonprofits going on? Would you please do that for us? Oh, Mr. President, please. We're not beggars, man. We're rulers and reigners. And God wants to turn our minds to start transitioning into a whole new mindset. So what does he do? He gives us a government that's going the opposite direction. Why is he sending it the opposite direction? Because he doesn't want us
to trust and look for our government to favor us. He wants us to look for God Almighty to favor us and look to us. Hallelujah. What are we doing? Where do we got our eyes? We got our eyes on government. We got our eyes on, oh, we hope they favor us like we're beggars. We're not beggars, friend. No, that's over. That's done. That's finished. That's why when the two witnesses come, they're going to say, hey, you know, I know you think you got it going on, Mr. Antichrist, but I'm going to plague you everywhere you go, buddy. And you can't stop me until my prophesying time is over, and then Jesus comes back right after that. Anyway, so, I mean, what was a little bit of getting your head cut off, you know, after 3.5 years of prophesying? I think after 3.5 years of prophesying, they're going to prophesy, I think I'd want my head cut off. You know, I mean, that'd be wear me out. Be awesome and glorious, but I think I'd be ready to go. When God finishes with something, you know, that thing's over. It's like John the Baptist. When his deal was over, it was over, friend. It was sad. Some woman danced a little dance and had his head cut off. That didn't sound very cool to me. Doesn't sound very John went out in glory. No, it sounds like he went out with some dancer girl saying to her mama, what do you want? What do you want me to tell the king? What do we want? At the head of John the Baptist, honey, of course. And then she goes to the king, the little dancer girl goes to the king and says, Mr. King, you know, you promised me anything. I want the head of John the Baptist. And what did they get? They got the head of John. Why? Because God allowed it. He allowed it, friend. Wake up to the allowments of God. If you don't wake up to what God allows, you know, God allowed, Job to be troubled, but he also doubled him when he got through, teaching him how to get his eyes on God. Though you slay me, yet will I praise you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know, I don't care, oh, King, you know, we respect you and we honor you. But you know what? Even if our God does not deliver us, we will not bow to you. We bow to the living God. Our government comes from God. You may think you rule us, but you will never make us bow to your stuff. Not ever, not for a moment. We're here because our nation sinned. We're here in Nebuchadnezzar land, in Babylon. Why? Because Israel sinned. They knew that. They're going to disrespect the king. Even God told them to respect the king because God told Nebuchadnezzar to go get him and bring him into captivity. God told him to do that. What do you think God did with America, friend? He does not want you and I looking to Donald Trump. I don't care how wonderful he was and is. I voted for him twice. And God says, I'm going to give you a Joseph Biden. And you're going to start getting your eyes back on Jesus instead of the government, back on God's government, not hoping I get some favor with the president. Oh, my gosh. No, we're going to rule and reign with Christ and God until, and God wants us to get our eyes back on him, get our eyes back on that instead of hoping we can, you know, in our corrupt system somehow get some guy in there who will give us a little bit of favor. Those days are over, my brother and sister. They are finished. They are done. Over. Kapooch. Kapuli. Barata. So get over it, please. Quit being distracted with this nonsense. And start getting your eyes. The reason that this is so important is because as long as you get your eyes on Trump, then well, we hope America can be great again. Oh, God. And get my red hat and all that. Well, I wanted America to be great again, too, and get some freedom and all that, but God had something else in mind, man. Wake up. Come on. It's over. What's he doing? He's doing something greater. He's getting us to look to him as our Savior, as our Lord, as the one who ends abortion, as the one who sets us free, as the one who rules our hearts and our lives. Then we're going to have real revival. We're going to have a real outpouring. We're going to get our eyes back on Jesus. As he's our king, who do we want our king to be? That's one thing they were accusing Jesus of. Well, he wants to be your king, Caesar. Jesus wasn't wanting to be their king. He said, my king is from another world. But the church has forgotten about that. Oh, no, we want to kind of be a mix. Give us a mix. You know, just give us enough of a mix where they don't kill us and where they don't take our nonprofit organizations from us and where they don't take, you know, where they don't mess with us too much and they give us some freedom and try to end abortion if you can. I'm sorry if this is blowing your mind tonight, but this is the mindset God wants us to have until we get it. We're not going to have revival. We're not going to have an outpouring. Outpouring comes through getting your mind on Jesus, on your mind on God, not on Trump. not only open that we'll have a great America. God doesn't want a great America. He wants a great world. He wants to rule the world. He wants to rule the earth. So he's moving, he's shifting gears, and that's where we're heading right now, head on. We're heading head on with it, and you better just get in line with it and start saying, hey, you know, don't let those Trump people tell you that you're a betrayer of Trump. No, you're a follower of Jesus. Oh, you don't believe Trump? You don't believe? They make you feel like you're betraying them. That's the only thing I like about Trump. When Trump didn't get his way, he turned into, oh, you're betraying me now, like Mr. Pence and Mr. whoever else. You're betraying me now. Oh, yeah, now. That's when the real Trump came out, y'all. I don't know if you noticed that, but that's the real truth. That's what really came out. That was all for the whole world to see. That wasn't some manufactured news cycle that went on. If you're not for us, man, we don't know about you. You know, it all sounded pretty at the moment. It sounded, you know, bold and courageous. But you know what? I didn't like that. I didn't like it at all. And I'm going, God, you know, is that why you're taking, what's going on here? He said, Randy, I want my people's eyes back on Jesus, not on Pence to be president, not on Trump to be president, not on anybody, not any of their other choices, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we had a man of God who was a real man of God, our system is not made to have a real man of God. Did y'all know that? Yeah, our system is not made to have ruling our country. Jesus would not be voted in America. He's too religious. Something said about Huckabee and some other people. He's too religious, man. I know what went on. I was there. They wouldn't vote in Jesus. Are you kidding me? America's not made to vote in a man of God. The system is not built for it. It's not going to happen. God doesn't want America great again. He wants to have the kingdom of God and the church with their eyes on Jesus, the head of the church, ruling and reigning with him, just like the book of Acts was doing when they were believing God. And God was, when they needed to be delivered for something, they didn't need a favor with the president. Can you come and unlock Peter from the prison? Peter, they accidentally, we think they just made a mistake, Mr. President. Can you unlock Peter from the jail? I mean, he's really a good guy. I mean, he's really a good Christian and everything, and he likes you and stuff like that. And if you could get him out, that would be really good. You know, yeah. But that's not the way God did it. How did God set Peter free, Peter and Silas? Paul and Silas and Peter and whoever else. Through praise. They begin to praise God, and the jail cells open up, and they just walk out. That's God doing stuff, man. That's the throne of God. How did God deal with deliberate, willful liars after the book of Acts? They brought them in. If they deliberately and willfully lied, they, you know, and God knew that their heart was wrong. God judged them, not Peter. Peter didn't judge Ananias and Sapphira. Peter had nothing to do with judging them. It was God was judging from the throne, and Peter just happened to be the mouthpiece. He kind of went, you're not talking to me, man. Yeah, you just got to be talking to God, and, you know, I mean, I can't judge you, but God does. And how did God judge him? Wacko. Brought the woman in there. God wasn't going to say, oh, like Texas, you know, we love the women. Even if they're miserable God-haters, we're still going to give the children to them. No, that's not what happened. When the woman came in, Sapphira came in, they didn't say, hey, man, dear woman, Your husband just got whacked. You better tell us the truth. And she's like going, what? Got whacked? What do you mean? Did you sell that property for this amount or what? And she lied like a dog. And did God go, oh, but that's my baby doll girl? No, because you know what? God doesn't bring injustice into the kingdom of God. They schemed. They lied on purpose. And God knew, and Peter didn't judge them. Peter didn't have something against women and go, oh my God, yeah, okay. You know, we don't like women that well. We don't think they ought to be in ministry, so let's whack them. No, Peter had nothing to do with the throne room judgment of God that happened that day. That was God that did it. God can't, Peter can't take a life. Only God can do that. Peter didn't wave his hand over him and go, okay, you're dead now. It was the throne room of God, friend. And this is what Jesus wants. This is what God wants. We got to look to it, what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, not what we think needs to happen. It's what the Word of God, we are so inundated for a political savior that most people are going to fall for the Antichrist because he's going to be a really good political savior. And many people are going to fall for him because he's going to pump you money. He's going to give you COVID money like you ain't never seen. You want to get more COVID money than you ever dreamed of. Oh, yeah, give him COVID money. You have to sign this little thing here. We're going to keep giving you more. You have to put this little thing in your hand, but we're going to keep giving you money, honey. You ain't gonna have a need. No, you're going to lack for nothing. They're going to try to become your God. That's where that's going. That's where that political system is taking him. And that's why God says, I'm not gonna allow you to, the church to get their eyes on any man of any kind. Yeah, God uses people along the way who aren't that godly. I know that's a part of the process, but that process is over. Did God use Trump? Yes. But that process is over. It's done. It's finished. It's kapooch. Now we're going to a higher level, friend. We're going to start trusting in God to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to be our protector. I think Trump did a great job. A great job. We've got to wake up. Be the church. Be the church of the living God. Not the church is looking for a political Savior, because that's what the Antichrist is going to be. Oh, and he's going to be religious, all right. Yeah, they're going to figure out they got to have religion in there somewhere or people are just not going to go for it. I guarantee you, they're going to have religion in there. Oh, yeah. It ain't going to be Christ, because when you have a Christ, when Christ runs the government is upon the shoulders of Jesus. The Bible says the government was upon his shoulders. In other words, the government that needs to rule the world is the government of God, not the government of man. Not a Democrat-Republican system that can vote out Jesus anytime they want to. But a government that's from God. Hallelujah. All right, I know I'm tracking on some, throwing some dirt up in the air tonight. But that's the way we do it sometimes. So, all right. Andrea sent me a great video. I'm going to try to get it out tomorrow morning if I can, about the word that I got about the DNA and the Antichrist and the mark being, I got the word code. I got that word code, literally the word code. This guy even uses the word code in here. I mean, when I saw this thing, I don't know where Andrea got it exactly. I asked her, she said she had YouTubed it or something. And after I gave that message, I guess, it's when she did that. And so, this totally shocked me. I mean, I can't believe anybody else heard that, what I heard. You're just going to have to hear it. I'm going to send it to you and get it to you here tomorrow morning, maybe even tonight later. It just depends, in the next 24 hours. So get ready for it, and we'll send it to you. And I think you're going to love it. It's about 30, 45 minutes long. I can't remember, but the first part of it's kind of, seems slow because he's dealing into some stuff, but just give it some time and finish it out. Make sure you finish it out because it's going to blow your mind, especially when you know, in Christ I lie not. I did not know this guy because it's going to look like I did. In Christ I lie not. I did not know this man. I knew nothing about him. I've never heard of him. If I ever heard of the guy, I don't remember. He's not a spirit-filled preacher, I don't think. I don't even know what he is, who he is. But literally, it was mind-boggling. And so we will, because when you listen to it, you're going to think, you know, Randy got this from this guy. Because this is what it's going to look like. But I'm telling you, right now, before God Almighty, in Christ Jesus' name, I lie not. I've never heard this anybody talk about what I gave, about the code. And the 666 being more about the number of DNA, the way they number the DNA out. The 666 is going to be the numbering of, because DNA has to do with numbers and codes and that kind of thing. And when you see it, it's going to blow your mind. And I saw that when I saw the word code. I knew exactly what code meant in the spirit because I've seen the words. And when you see, I don't know if I agree with everything he says, but about 90% of it, I agree with 90, maybe 85, 90% of it, I agree with, which is rare for me. And so, hallelujah. This is really exciting. I think Andrea's on right now. We'll get her on here and let her kind of tell us a little bit about that. But get ready, friend. If people think that I think the vaccine is the DNA change, it is not. The vaccine we have right now, it's not. It's part of the process of leading up to it. They're using the language when they pass the information around, but it is not the permanent DNA change that this is going to be. They're going to be telling you they're going to change your DNA. They're not going to be hiding it from you. You know why they're not going to hide it from you? Because they're going to say this is the answer to everything. That's what the Antichrist is going to be, is the answer. They're going to be our source. Man, the scientists, I looked up today. I just found this out today for sure. That the man who's the Antichrist, let's say he's the Antichrist, who I've never given his name yet, his grandfather, these are pretty wealthy people, his grandfather, who just died in 1990, in the 90s, and the beginning of the 90s, 1990, died, and he was a scientist. He was a biologist who studies all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, that shocked me. I didn't even know that until today. And then I dug into it a little bit to make sure that what kind of scientist he was. And that's the kind of scientist that the Antichrist's grandfather was. Yeah, blew my little pea brain mind. And I was like going, oh, my Lord, and oh, my God. Yeah, I just discovered it today. He was a biologist, a scientist. First said he was a scientist, and then they dug into the war and said he was a biologist. Let me tell you what a biologist is before I move on to take callers. I think Andrea's on here. I'm going to take Andrea first, so Andrea, get ready. A biologist is a professional who has specialized knowledge in the field of biology, understanding the underlying mechanisms that govern the functioning of biological systems within fields such as health, technology, and the environment. Biologists involved in fundamental research attempt to explore and further explain the underlying mechanics that govern the functioning of living matter. Now, I'm probably not able to absorb all that, but I'm not even absorbing it all yet, except when I absorbed a little bit I did and read this. This is the Antichrist grandfather. And you can understand why maybe you'll understand soon why he's going to be the Antichrist, because his family signed a covenant with Satan many years ago. I mean, they didn't tell me that. Nobody's told me that in the natural realm. I just know it in the spirit, and I've explained a little bit of that, why I know that, before, if you've listened very closely. You have to listen pretty closely. You never know what I'm going to talk about. I never know what I'm going to talk about, but I don't do it to get people. I think last week when I talked about what I said, I was going to talk about the DNA, I sent everybody out a message, you know, to let you know I'm going to talk about it. So I'm not playing a game with this. This is not a game I'm playing at all. In Christ, I'm not playing a game with this. There's a reason why I can't tell you. But I'm giving you all the hints, all the things, and so when it all happens, it's going to blow your mind. So we're seeing things are starting to open up, and I think that pretty soon the revealing of that's going to happen. The next 3 to 5 years, I think we're going to see where – I don't know if I'll be able to give that name then or not, but this man is not in the news. They're not in the news anywhere. You can't find them in the news. They're not – you know, all these people in the news, including Putin and all these other guys, they – you know, Obama – Trump, people say, oh, these guys could be the Antichrist. These guys are hidden out, man. They're behind the scenes. They don't want, people who want to be seen are not Antichrist material. People who want to be known are not Antichrist material. They already know who they are. They're not looking for, you know, popularity and can you see me? I'm going to say something really cool. They're not into that, like maybe I might be sometimes, or you, or us. They're not really into that, all right? So don't think we're going to find somebody in the news, and that's going to be the Antichrist because he's got red hair.
No, they're not in the news at all. So, all right, and I keep up with it. So, anyway, where's I going with all that? Let me think here. Jesus, help me. Okay, so we're talking about this guy that Andrea ran across after I gave the word about. We'll find out exactly how she did it. I didn't ask her to come on tonight, but I see that she's on there, so we'll get her on here and see what she's got to say about it. So she may say it completely different than me. I don't know. All right, let's get Andrea on here. Andrea, are you there? All right, Andrea, are you there? I hear your dogs, but I don't hear you. All right, Andrea, are you there?
Yeah, I'm hearing Randy.
Okay, yeah, get your phone set up where we can hear you really good, and don't put me on speakerphone or any of that, please, so I can really hear you nicely. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Let me get to a different area here, and I'll try not to lose you. I'm in the basement, so.
Okay, well, if you do, just call me back. If I lose me, just call me back. I'm going to wait for you.
Okay. Hold on a sec. Oh, shit.
She just hung herself up. She'll be back. All right, there she is. Okay. All right, we got you.
Okay, hold on a sec. Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, now you're going to be my news anchor. You're my news anchor tonight. You're in the news, right? I'm going to ask you to give a report from Nebraska. Okay, now you sent me that link. I didn't even know you sent it to me. You sent it to the bookkeeping. You sent it to the bookkeeping email address, which is not even an email address that I look at every day. Our bookkeeping people keep up with all that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even know you sent
it.
It's okay. Just hang on a second. Don't even say anything until I finish. And then you can. Okay. I'm just trying to say. I didn't even know you sent it to me. And then my bookkeeping people said, "Hey, Randy, you got this email, a video from Andrea from Nebraska." So yeah, what is it? They sent it to me. And so when I saw the title, I went, "Oh wow, this could be interesting." So I listened to it, and my mind was blown big time. Now, how did you find that video about the same thing that we talked about that I think a couple of weeks ago? And did you search out information, looking up for information on that, or did you already have that video?
Oh, I just looked on the internet. Well, probably a day after or something, I looked it up, and then I sent it to you.
Okay, did they ask? Hang on a sec. So the day after we talked about when I downloaded the word that I saw the word code, and when I saw the word code, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, and when I saw the word code, I shared with everybody that I knew what it meant. I knew it meant Antichrist. I knew it meant the mark of the beast. I knew it meant genetic code. And then God began to download for me all this information about how the 666 and the mark of the beast is more about the DNA change than it is about the chip, even though the chip is part of it, because that's how we connect up to the financials that they'll supply for us and, you know, automatically and all that kind of thing. So you heard that, and then the next day or so you Googled and you found that video, right? Is that correct?
Yep.
Wow.
And I didn't have to look very hard because it wasn't right near the top, so...
What did you Google?
He's
really
well versed. Yeah, basically, I just Googled about genetic engineering or something, Antichrist, something like that. It was something along those lines.
Yeah.
And what's really weird is, you know, this guy's talking about a lot of stuff, and if you've ever watched Star Trek, they got into this a long, long time ago with Space Seed. About genetic engineering and about how this human race, you know, was genetically engineered and they almost destroyed the Earth. And that was Khan, if you ever seen any of the Star Trek movies. They had him. They basically jettisoned off this genetic race in the space, frozen, so they wouldn't hurt anybody, because they literally almost did destroy the Earth with their superhuman abilities and stuff.
Right.
And then they made two movies about it. And one was The Wrath of Khan, and then they kind of rebooted the original episode. But what's interesting in the episode, the movie, it was with the new cast of the Star Trek people. And I just saw it recently. I didn't see it all the way through, quite a while, because it's been out for a while, but I finally saw it all the way through. And basically, they bring someone back to life with this Khan's blood, because he's in this movie. It's called Into Darkness. You should, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's very interesting, because it's the same premise as Space Seed, but they kind of revamped it, for the movie. And yeah, his blood basically brings Captain Kirk back to life, because he actually dies in the movie. But yeah. And it over, the genetic engineered blood is how I got that back to life. In other words, you can't die. That's why you're separated. You this genetic engineering is going to be able to do that to people. So it's just rather interesting that Star Trek, had those premise lines way back when.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But I've heard a lot of this before, but it's, the Mark of the Beast is really changing the, genetic engineering. And you look at the fallen angels, and that's why God brought the animals himself, because he knew which ones were pure to the ark.
Right.
He knew the ones that weren't tainted. A lot of the animals were tainted, too. So, yeah.
So the human realm became the whole world became mixed with angels. Angels said that the Bible says that the sons of God, or what we consider angels, slept with the women and got a mixed seed going on, and then that's why God destroyed the earth with Noah, because of the mixed seed. And so he kind of talks about some of that.
Yep.
I was a little bit aware of that. I've heard of some of that before. But the amazing thing to me was that how he described exactly, he did it better than I did, but the basic element of the focus on what the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast is about, the 666, isn't so much about a chip, although that's part of it. It is more of how they're going to change our DNA and change our image. So the image we're bowing down to, the Lord showed me this in the spirit. I share all of it on the show, and I've never heard that from any man, from anybody, any video, anybody, anything. Because when you guys hear this, you're going to think, oh, Randy Garvey got that from him. I did not get that from him. In Jesus'
name.
No,
you didn't. You knew something that, yeah.
Yeah, God supernaturally just downloaded it. When I saw the code, all that stuff happened, and so God began to show me that stuff. So when you see this, I'm going to try to send it to you guys tomorrow so you can see it, but... Andrea will tell you, it's very revealing.
It is. And the Antichrist is going to be somebody who's genetically engineered, and this is why when he is shot in the head, he does not die.
Right.
He regenerates.
Right. But now what she's saying, in case people don't understand what she means by shot in the head, the Bible... If people are not involved in the book of Revelation and the talk about how the Antichrist is going to become supernatural and filled with Satan, is because he's going to get shot in the head, or somebody's going to kill him somehow or another, and he's going to come back to life, and that's how he kind of resurrects from the dead, basically. And so what you're saying and what I think he's saying is that they're going to... He's going to be a genetic makeup of what it's like to have, genes that they can keep you from dying, basically.
Yep.
Right? Is that right or not?
That's right. Because you kind of think about that, and it fits in with what the book of Revelation says, because, and then people, like you said, people wanting to hide and they cannot die when God's wrath comes, you know, to basically deal with all those that took the mark.
Yeah.
You know, and the evil. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to wish they could die, but they can't. Because they genetically engineered, you know, allowed that to happen to themselves.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, and I think maybe I haven't even thought about this till right now, but some of the signs and wonders that he's going to do is going to be from the genetic codes. I think that's got to be what it is. The way they develop, a new man, like they're going to, like we watch these movies. One of the things that he talked about, which I never connected before. With all the information I got, was how they have, we have all these movies about, what do they call them, like Spider-Man and...
The Hulk. Well,
it was
conditioned. It's been a conditioning about aliens and all this other craziness, you know, a superhuman, mixing DNA, because Spider-Man had spider DNA mixed in him, and that's how he got, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was also talking about the one guy who I saw. I even saw that movie. It's a kids' movie. It's the Marvel. It's the Marvel cartoon, whatever you call it, the Marvel movies. And one guy who got the shot arm, he was real skinny. He wanted to go to war and fight for his country, but he was too skinny. He couldn't get into the military. And so they used him they put him in this thing, and they injected it into his body. And then you can hear him screaming and, and then when they opened up the thing where he was locked up in, where he couldn't get up, he was this big, muscly guy, you know? And so it's like he said, I would have never thought about it, but the way he brings this up, and we're going to send you guys that video where he talks about how that they're conditioning us. I think Tanisha had mentioned that too, where they are conditioning us for this thing to be like, oh, you want to be really strong and healthy and not, you know, not die or not get sick, just take this mark. And so they want us to bow down to that image because that image is going to be so marvel. It's going to be so marvelous. It's going to be so,
it's going to be the cure for cancer and I don't know what all for people that are dying of cancer. It's going to be something tempting for them to do instead of, the hand of God actually healing you, which he can do. And that's why he's going to up his power, of course. God's miraculous power, his way to basically deal with this type of thing happening. That's why we're going to see great signs and wonders on God's perspective, too, because he cannot allow this to have, a big foothold or everybody would be perishing.
Right. Well, it says even the elect, it's going to be hard for even the elect. He's going to even deceive.
Exactly.
It's going to be so amazing. People got to realize that now that we're shifting gears on this and God is starting to open up to us what to really look for, because if you don't know what you're really looking for, you'll miss it. And so the big thing that we've been looking for a mark or a chip, that's basically it. But what's happening is that they are conditioning us to change our DNA for the better, so we'll be stronger, healthier, live longer, be better, be able to think clearer and better and all that. And so they're going to do, it's going to be such a miraculous thing. It's going to be miraculous in the eyes of men who are, like you said, are getting ready to die. And all of a sudden they come out of the hospital, from looking half dead to looking like they got muscles and they're really healthy and strong and young. And, because they've chosen to bow to the image that the beast is going to make. But the problem with it is, it's just going to be man. 666 means completely of man doing man, making man in the image.
Yep.
So it's going to be totally opposite of what Christ is going to do through blood, through the cross. It's going to, the reason it's going to be Antichrist is because it's going to be, because they're not doing it through the Word of God and through the cross and through the Holy Spirit and through the Word. They're not doing it through that. They're doing it through DNA. But here's the really cool thing that I'm so amazed at, how God has been having us here at BGN deal with the blood and talk about the blood a lot and eating his flesh and drinking his blood and trying to get a grip on what that really means, because it's more powerful than we realize. Jesus said, if you want to live, man, eat my body, drink my blood. I mean, that's kind of a, like, wow.
And that's what they're going to say.
Yep.
They're going to say, eat our DNA. You know, eat our source. We're going to be your source of life. When Jesus says, I'm going to be your source of life. So we have to choose between which one. And some people are not going to be able to believe God. And they're going to fall for it.
I know.
It's going to be difficult when you're sitting
part.
There dying.
See, that's the part where the deception is really going to be big.
It's going to be big. And if we're not, if we don't understand that, if we don't realize that, by one injection, all of your ailments go away. Oh, wow. How tempting is that going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to say no. Oh, I'm going to believe God to heal me. I'm still waiting on God to heal me. You know, and they are well people, but if it's strong enough, it's going to be hard to deny that.
Exactly. That's why I got to warn people what the true mark of the beast is. So,
right.
And of course, with the
it's
chip and everything, they're still going to be able to control you. You know, that's the other scary part is, with a chip, they will be able to control your thoughts and everything else. On top of it, with the genetic engineering, that you know, they're still going to be able to have that, you know, to where they'll make them turn on you, because you're not willing to bow down to what they're doing.
Right.
So
what they want us about the image.
Yep.
Here's the thing about the image, and I want to make this real clear with people. The image that they're going to want us to bow down to, we've always thought it was going to be some image of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when he said, bow down to this image that they made. Well, it's not going to be that kind of an image, friend. It's going to be the image that they have made, they're making man in through DNA. How do you get your image?
Yep.
You get your image from God through what? Through DNA. So what are they going to do? They're going to want you to bow down to the image. The way you bow down to the image is you take that injection, and they're going to tell you. They're not going to sit there and say, we're trying to slip one over on you. We're going to change your DNA. You're not going to know it. They're not going to do that. They're going to tell you what they're doing. They're going to make it. They're going to tell you, hey, this is going to save you. It just saved your aunt. Your aunt just came alive from the dead almost. She was dying of cancer and had all kinds of diseases and COVID and plus everything else. And now look at her. She's coming to visit you right now. If she got it, you're going to want it too. You're going to die if you don't get it. So the image that they're talking about is the image that's from the DNA where they're going to make their own DNA. Here's something that Tanisha says. She says, even the COVID, the enemy is conditioning people to fear sickness, so they will want modified DNA. Wow, that's
exactly
good.
Exactly.
Even with COVID, she says, the enemy is conditioning people to fear sickness, so they will all want more modified DNA. That's a good word. Wow.
Exactly.
And so what's important? Go ahead.
It's the preamble of the mark of the beast. Is what this vaccination is doing, that they're having people jump on, and it's actually not a good thing, this vaccination, because I've heard it breaks down your immune system.
Yeah.
So,
well, here's the thing I want to clarify. There's all this stuff about the vaccination. What does it do to you? Does it break down your immune system, or does it make it better, or whatever? To me, it doesn't even – not that it doesn't matter – but what they want to do is get us focused on, they're trying to slip one up on you and change your DNA, and you're not
exactly
going to know it. And that's not true. That's
exactly
not what's going to happen. They're going to tell you they're changing your DNA. They're not going to sit there and slip one up on you, friend. They're going to tell you they're changing your DNA, and it's going to save your life, and you're going to want it. You're going to sign up because it's going to save you. It's not going to be some,
yep,
oh, I wonder if they're going to slip the vaccination when they give me a shot, man. They're going to like put some, they're going to change my DNA in there. Well, I kind of had that temptation to think that. I wondered that. I questioned that. But when God began to speak to me, he said, I don't need to take vaccinations or any of those. I haven't taken a flu shot in many, many, many years. I don't even take those things. So that's my point, is I just don't take them because God told me not to take them, so I don't. And so that's my point with it. But whether it's good or bad or ugly, I wouldn't stick that stuff in my arm. I don't care what they said about it. That's just me, though. So, but the point is that is not, everybody's, oh, that's the DNA, man. That John F. Kennedy guy came out and said a bunch of stuff about it, and I think, I think they mean well, but it is not changing. They are not going to change your DNA by accident. They're going to let you know they're changing it. They're going to let you know it, because it's going to save you, and you're going to come into agreement with it, because you're going to love it.
Yep. And then there's this medical bed that they've been touting that's supposed to grow limbs and, I don't know, everything else. And to me, that'll be a form also of changing the DNA, using this bit, and supposedly my friend is reading up on it. And, anything you hear, an alien has come up with this thing, you know it's a fallen angel. And you know it's not good. But there's a bit on Star Trek, you know, that they had. Remember the bit on Star Trek that healed people? Well, now they have this bed, supposedly, that can, you know, that you lay on it and you can it grows new limbs, and I don't know, it heals cancers and stuff like that. But I still think that could be a form of genetic engineering too, that they could get you that way. If you don't want to take the vaccination, there's going to be another alternative.
Yeah, I think I'm going to tell you, the big point I'm trying to make is I'm trying to set people free from worrying about something that they don't need to be worrying about. Be concerned about it. Concerned that what do you want them pumping that stuff in your body or not, but do not think that this is the mark. That is not the mark. It has nothing to do with the mark. It's the conditioning, you know, and so the DNA shot is going to change your DNA, and they're going to tell you, and you're going to pay for it. You know how you're going to pay for it? With your life.
Well, exactly, because that's why God destroyed, the earth the first time around by the flood, because of the tainted people.
Yeah.
Their DNA was tainted.
Yeah, exactly. And so tainted means 666. That's kind of what tainted means.
Yep.
It's like, man, you know, anything that's not of God, the DNA realm. Because when you think about what happens in the Bible, if you know anything much about the Bible, if you study the Bible long, you see that the Jews had to marry Jews because the race that God chose, I think was it Shem? Was Shem the Jewish people? I can't remember. Whichever one it was, it doesn't matter. But of the three, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, whichever one it was that the Jews came from, that God chose that particular people not because they were better than anybody else or lesser than anybody else. He chose them because their DNA. And therefore, that's why he would not let them, in their laws, they couldn't marry outsiders like Canaanites, and because they would mix their blood again, mix their DNA, and God wanted a pure DNA so that he could bring pure Jesus, you know, have a pure woman like Mary, so he could bring forth the Son of God. And that's when you understand that, you start seeing that all this stuff we're talking about is easy to grasp, and it's not some crazy theory. It's just simply very biblical and easy to grasp when you understand.
Yep.
And so them trying to change the DNA, which the Antichrist, the guy that I know, that when God gave me the name of the Antichrist, I've known it for a few years. But so today, yesterday and today, I did research on his family members, and one of them, one of the grandfathers, was a scientist. He was a biologist. Which that's what they study. They study all this stuff. And so he's very connected to this. This is in his family line. They've been doing research on this for a long time in the family line of the guy who's the Antichrist, the family line who's the Antichrist guy. His family has studied this stuff. They know this stuff. And his grandfather, who just actually passed away in the 90s, was the biologist that we're talking about. So this is a really, really big thing. It's amazing how this is kind of coming about. Tanisha sent me another text saying the enemy wants to be like God. We choose salvation, so he will have people choose the image of an eternal man outside of God through the DNA shot. Yeah. Let me read that again. The enemy wants to be God, of course. You know, but she's putting it in a way that we can kind of grasp it here. The enemy wants to be God. We choose salvation so that he will have people choose the image of eternal man outside of God through the DNA shot. Yeah, and that's one reason. There's another reason why God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. Because if they would have eaten of the tree of life, when they were in that state of failure, they would have really messed them up. So God booted them out of the garden so they wouldn't eat the tree of life once they had tainted themselves. Once their DNA became tainted, that would have been a complete disaster had they eaten of the tree of life after that. So God got them out of the garden so they couldn't do that. You know, that's one reason they shut off the garden, is because once their DNA became tainted with sin, which is, you know, basically 666 to a certain degree. And so I think we're getting this pretty good out there. And once you, when you guys hear the video, what's that guy's name again? Just give me the guy's name. I can't find it. I tried to look up the video while I was doing this.
Doug,
what's that guy's name again? You know what his name is?
Harper something.
Okay, what's the video called again? I can't remember.
Oh, DNA Mark of the Beast.
I want everybody to hear this so they can look at it for themselves. And I'm trying to find the right one here.
DNA, I believe it's Mark of the Beast.
Okay. Yeah, so you can Google, you can YouTube, it's on YouTube, I believe it's a YouTube, DNA, Mark of the Beast, and then that way you can look it up tonight if you want to. And then if you don't look
and he's
tonight,
a pastor, too.
He's a pastor.
I went to his website, and he's a pastor, and he's researched this out very, very well. He's very, very intelligent.
Very, very. I was surprised how the information he got was what God had showed me. That's what blew my mind when you sent that to me. What shocked me was I'm going like, he even uses the word code and everything. I mean, I was just totally shocked. It was totally shocking.
It could be Hamp, I think, or something. I mean, I know it's a different last name, but I think it's Hamp or something. H-A-M-P, I think. Try that. But I think it's Doug Hamp. But anyway, yeah, and he studied this. He went to school. He has studied about the fallen angels, you know, and he said that people did not emphasize it enough when the flood came, that this is the reason why it was destroyed. He said it was to do with the intermingling of the, you know, DNA then. That's why it had to be destroyed. You know, mankind and the animals that were tainted had all to be destroyed because of that situation, because Satan was trying to keep Jesus' line from being born, period.
Right.
So what better way to do it than to taint, you know, to taint, in the very beginning to taint the DNA, you know? He tried everything up his sleeve. He's tried, you know, to keep that from happening, but he did not do it.
He didn't do it. Okay, here's the name. I just found it. Okay, everybody, write this down, and I'm going to send it to you. I got it up here. Mark of the Beast to change DNA to Nephilim, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M. Mark of the Beast to change DNA to Nephilim. I don't know if I agree with everything he says, but 90% of it is 85-90%, which is rare for me as a prophet and with prophetic information. It's very shocking. And so that's what the Mark of the Beast to change DNA to Nephilim, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M. And I don't know if I agree with all that, but generally speaking, it's just, you know, if I didn't think you could handle this, you know, I wouldn't send it to you. And so I know you can handle it. I know you guys will do good on it. So there you go. That's the name of it. That's what it's called. And I don't really have the name of the guy there.
It should be Doug Hamp is, I think, what his name is. H-A-M-P.
What?
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Douglas Hamp.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually...
what his name is.
Well, it says Ken Motley. Maybe Ken Motley. Maybe Ken Motley sent it out. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But the pastor's name is Douglas
Hamp
there. Or whatever.
Yeah, that may be. But so that's there you go. It's a guy standing in front of some curtains and green curtains. He has a brown coat on with kind of blondish red hair. Blondish red hair. What? Yeah, and he's preaching some curtains behind him for the pulpit and some greenish curtains behind him, kind of a tall guy with a tag around his neck. Anyway, there you go right there. You guys get that. And that way, if I don't send it to you until tomorrow, you'll have it if you want it. But it takes you have to go through it. It takes a little bit to go through it. It's about an hour long, so you have to be patient. And believe me, it's very, very informative. It's the only thing I would recommend. I don't even recommend anybody. People are sending me stuff already saying this and this and this one. And I'll look at it first. I'm not going to tell people stuff until I check it out. I mean, you know, you can tell everybody else that here on PG, and I don't pass things around. I don't pass things around very easily, as you guys know. I don't pass things around very easily.
If you go to the guy's website, you'll see how much he's researched this out. If you go to the guy. The guy has a website. He's a pastor, and it says the name of his church and stuff. And
okay.
But he studied this over years and years and years.
Right. So I'm just shocked. I'm amazed. Believe me, I wouldn't pass it on to you if I didn't think that most of it was correct. So check it out. God will help you feed through it, wade through it. And get ready for him, because I'm telling you, we're in a season. If you listen to the message tonight about why God didn't allow Donald Trump to be president, is because he's getting our eyes back on Jesus and the government of God instead of sucking up to presidents and people who, you know, partially believe what we want, and we have to, you know, basically, you know. Anyway, he wants a man of God like Jesus to rule the world. That's what we got to start looking for and get our eyes off politicians. Yes, we pray for our politicians. We still pray for our government. Of course we do. But we get our eyes off of them being the answer. God's not trying to make America great again. He wants to make the whole world free again. And so that's kind of where we're going with it. But so get ready, because that's my message, and that's what God's showing me, and that's what I'm going to preach on and prophesy about. So if you have a problem with that, just pray for me. And it probably won't change, but maybe it'll help me get better at it. But okay, so there you go. All right, Andrew, I didn't know you were coming on tonight. Thank you for being on. When I saw you, I know your number. I saw you. We can get her on here and talk about this a little bit. So anything else you want to say about it before I move on here?
Yeah, just kind of watch. If you've never seen Space Seed, and then watch the Wrath of Khan, or even the newest Into Darkness, I'd watch that. Star Trek Into Darkness. And the Khan's in it. You know, the genetically engineered man that they have to deal with.
So what's the name of the show?
Star Trek, Into Darkness.
The Khan?
Khan is his name, Khan. But when they made a vaccine out of his DNA, that was very interesting. His blood. They made a vaccine out of his blood to bring Kirk back to life. And that was that was right what they're talking about.
It's
very interesting.
I'm gonna look it up right now. Star Trek. I'm gonna look it up right now. So if people want to watch it, how do you spell track? Star Trek. T-R-E-K. What do you call that?
Into the darkness.
Into Darkness. There you go. Okay,
yeah,
that's literally
darkness.
What it says.
It's the newest.
Hang on a second. Star Trek Into Darkness. You can buy it. I guess you can watch it on TV. But there it is right there. It's called Star Trek Into Darkness on YouTube.
Yep,
YouTube that.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Andrea. Awesome. I really appreciate that information. We'll put it out there. I think the enemies have this plan. I don't know how long man has been working on it for quite a while. When I found out that the guy who's the Antichrist, who's going to be the Antichrist, that his grandfather was a scientist, and I found out he was a biologist, you know, and they had the money to do whatever they wanted to do. They had the wealth to, so believe me, when I saw that today, I'm going, these guys are in behind all this stuff, I guarantee you. And they probably have, listen to this second, they probably have copyrights on it. I just thought about that because he was kind of a, you know, he was a big time biologist, and they paid for. So I'm sure when you pay for things, you get the copyright on it. So he probably has the copyright to this whole thing, and there's no telling. Right now even.
Yep.
Okay. Will we ever get back to normal? No. Forget it. Just forget it. Forget that. Normal? Forget that. It's going to be awesome. All right, Andrea, that was some great information. Thanks for coming on and sharing that. Like I said to you guys, when you see this and you go back to listen to what we talked about, it, you're going to go, Randy heard this from this guy. Listen, the reason I have to say in Christ, this is going to be hard to believe, but in Christ I lie not. God strike me dead if I'm lying or exaggerating at all. I've never heard anybody talk about
what it is.
It
yeah,
was confirmation.
It's a confirmation.
I've never heard anybody talk about it. It blew my mind away. I mean, I literally went, you know, oh my gosh, I couldn't even hardly believe it. I'm going like, that guy's been listening to my show, and then I realized he did that in 2018. So it fit. <been. laughs> Literally, that's what I thought. I thought, when did it? I looked at the date on it. I think it was 2018. No, he didn't
yes,
listen to my
date.
Show. Oh well. It sounded good for a few seconds, but anyway, so you guys get into that, and thank Andrea for finding that. I didn't. She sent it to me on our bookkeeping email, which I don't even get my bookkeeping emails. The bookkeeping people get the bookkeeping email, and since they said, "Hey, you got a video from Andrea." You know Andrea? I said, "Yeah, Andrea from Nebraska." Yeah. Okay, well, send it to me. So they sent it to me a few days ago. Actually, was it the weekend? I watched it over the weekend. I think it was over the weekend, maybe Friday or Saturday. I can't remember. I went, oh my gosh, man! It was just mind-boggling. All right, and as you guys send me other people to listen to, when I get time, I'll listen to them. I just don't listen to everybody. I have to, you know, I don't. I pretty well stay to myself, basically. If I get a word from God, then I go YouTube. When I get a word, I don't look for information on YouTube. I get words from the Lord. When the Lord speaks to me, then if it's that kind of thing, then I go YouTube it. Then I see if anybody's got it. Most of the time, they don't. That's why I was totally shocked when this guy had this information. I mean, and I don't say that I don't agree with everything he says, but, man, 85% of it, it's enough for me to pass it around. That's for sure. So enjoy it. And I'll try to get it to you tomorrow by text. So if you're not on our text, please get on there, and we'll get it to you. All right. All right, Andrea, let's pray for you. I don't think we prayed for you yet. Let's pray for you. And anything else you want to say before we move on?
Oh, just pray for my mom's kitty. I spent $500 at the vet's office. And then, no, I'm not going to change his DNA. But he had liver problems, and so now I think he's getting better. But, yeah, just that he starts eating, and he's starting to eat again by himself, and so he's doing better. So his name is Sammy.
All right. Awesome. Okay, we'll do that. All right, and then I'll pray for you. All right, Andrea, thank you very much. I enjoy it. Appreciate the info.
Amen.
Okay, all right. Yes, well, we just pray tonight for the kitty cats. We pray for animals. We love the animals, God. We know you love them. And we just bless them, God, and provide for them, you know, what they need in Jesus' name, and open up your life to them, God, and bless them, watch over them, and keep your babies. Those are your babies, too. You made all those creatures. So thank you, Jesus, for them. And bless Andrea, God, increase her, multiply her, bless her, God, let her know that she's married to you, that you are her bride, she is your bride, and thank you, Lord God, to nurture her and bring her great revelation and wisdom, God. Just like bring me that video. I mean, that was I would have not have ever seen that had it not been for you, Andrea. I mean, that was amazing. You know, God uses people. I mean, He uses people. It's amazing how He uses people. So we thank you, Jesus, for that.
and open up a way where there seems to be no way, God, and just bless her. Bless her big time. In Jesus' name, keep her healthy and whole, and keep let her pass the word around. Kick the word around in Jesus' name. All right, 754-240. This is my friends from Florida, Donald and Tanya.
Hey, Randy. Hey, Randy. This is Donald and Tanya.
Hey.
How you doing in Florida?
Yeah. Man, I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting really crazy about all this DNA stuff, though.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. I've been listening.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, we're going to be sending out that guy's information. And believe me, when I send that information, it's very rare that I send it out, you know, from somebody's church or video or whatever, because if I don't think most of it's good, most of it's good, then I don't send it out, you know. So you'll see, people will see when we get to see you. Yeah, those who look it up tonight, you can even look it up tonight right now on YouTube by the information I gave earlier. So if you want to do that, and I'll send the link up tomorrow. But yeah, it's really amazing. When I get that revelation from the Lord about the word code, see, that just shows you, man, about why revelation is so important, because, you know, it's God opening up what he thinks about things. It's not what people think about it. It's what he thinks about it. You know, and that's a whole different thing when you're getting God's thoughts. That's why the prophetic is so powerful, why, you know, good ministry, Holy Spirit-filled ministry is so important, because it gives the mind, the real mind of God, not the fake mind, not the fake news, not the fake prophetic news, but the real prophetic news. Yeah. So anyway, very, very cool. So what are you doing?
Yeah.
How are you?
I don't know. We're good. We're doing all right. We're doing, you know, it's a Tuesday night, just relaxing and going through the week, and, you know, everything's good, man. Everything's good. Been enjoying doing the shows, and you know, I can't really complain, man. Everything been all right, you know. Just always trying to get deeper and connect with God, and I just like to hear like what God is saying through you, like every time you do your every time you like you start talking about a particular topic, and lately it's been about the DNA. And is how you connect it to the communion, and it makes perfect sense. So, you know, just learning and just trying to grow like every day, you know, but nothing major with us lately. Just everything been, you know, normal, even keel.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. You know, I mean, you've been with us for a while, so you know that we've been talking about the blood and the body, and, you know, I've been really asking the Lord, you know, to show me, as everyone knows, who's with us, knows that I've been asking the Lord to show me, you know, even to the point that when we pray over communion, are we eating literally, physically, the body and the blood of Jesus, or is it spiritual? Somehow it's the body and blood. I don't know how it does it, or when it turns into it and all that, but I've been honest about that. I've been trying to get us to open up and think about, you know, why did Jesus make such a big deal out of it? You know, if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, he's sitting there talking to people saying, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. They're going to be like, you know, I mean, why did he do that? Why did he provoke their thinking to that? And it has to do with, you know, when Jesus gave his blood, he was saying, I'm going to give you my DNA. I'm going to give you pure DNA. And what does pure DNA do? Well, it causes us to not be sick. It causes us to, you know, have fellowship with God and have, you know, our Father, the Lord God Almighty, as our daddy. And that when you realize that getting Christ's DNA in you is what makes God your daddy. You don't become God's child by just getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's you do that, but it's much more than that. It's eating his word, eating his flesh. Getting the engrafted word of God. What does engrafting represent? It represents the flesh of another person, or flesh, you know, or whatever, the flesh of, you know, being imparted onto your flesh to heal you, to fix you, to, you know. So when you start thinking about all that and how that God put it in his law for the Jews to protect their bloodline, And when you start connecting, you know, a lot of things just start making sense, man. You know, I mean, this stuff has just come. I may be a little slow. I'm not sure, but it's just been coming together for me. And the way we've been talking about this, like you said, and connecting it to why now I understand why, Donald, why God's been talking to me about it. I mean, I honest to God, why am I so obsessed with this thing? It's like it was an obsession, and I'm asking Laura, say, you know, every time I get on and I talk about it, even while I'm talking about it, Donald, I'm going, why am I so obsessed with it? Why am I so obsessed with God? Can we talk about something else? You know, I mean, I know this is important, but and so now that I'm realizing the culmination of the one world government and what they're going to do and what it has to do with is changing our DNA and editing our DNA into the image of perfected health in the eyes of men through the DNA, and that the chip is really the least important thing that they're going to try to pump. It's more, that's important, but it's more of the changing of your DNA. And they're even talking about that. They're even saying, oh, the COVID vaccine is going to change your DNA, and all these warnings about it, change your DNA, change your DNA. So what's happening? God's even trying to awaken us to that, and even the system people want us awakened to DNA, the need for our DNA to change, and to get it to where it can fight disease and sickness. You know, I mean, it's all fitting together, Donald, and, you know, I'm just blown away, man. I'm just blown away. So it's really cool.
The way that you're breaking it down, I never heard anybody break it down like that. And yeah, even me, you got me. You know, I've been doing the communion like every day. It's like a habit. Like every day, every morning, I do my communion. Now it's just I have to do it. Like I just do it, and And I just meditate on doing it. And as you're breaking it down, and like you've been doing, I think, since last week, it's been making it more clear. Like as you take it and you're just meditating and contemplating on, okay, I'm taking the DNA. I'm receiving the DNA of God in me. And yeah, you know, that part, just breaking it down, just if you were just to speak on communion and, you know, breaking it down, you know, regarding the DNA and this is what it actually means, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, but it was never thought about like that before, you know, because it wasn't really explained. But now as you think about it, as you know it's the blood, you know, that you're drinking, you're eating the body, and even... It's funny because even when Jesus was explaining it to them and saying, hey, you know, this is what he wanted them to do, you know, a lot of the other disciples that was around, they walked away. They left because it was so weird to them. You know, it was like, man, what is he in? I think they were saying, like, is he in cannibalism or something like that? You know, they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. When he presented to them, a lot of them, they looked at it like it was disgusting or some type of ritual, and they walked away, you know. But it's just like it's a part of the transformation. I think it was just, you know, it's just like when he says to, like, renewing our mind, like staying in the Word, and, you know, diving in his principles as far as the Word and his teachings, and, you know, and that the same thing is with the bread and the blood. You know, it's all about transformation. Like we're transforming ourselves. Yeah, we're saved. You know, when we come to Christ, we're saved, but the process doesn't stop. That's actually the beginning. And he's just showing us, okay, this is how you become one with me. You know, you become part of me. And so, you know, it's just interesting and fascinating. It's just how God, you know, I know you're speaking on puzzles yesterday, but it's just how God, little by little, he reveals, like, the plan or the puzzle. And you might not understand why you're doing something, why God is putting something in your heart. But just you being obedient to you know, whether you knew why or what why he's asking you to do it, but just for you being obedient, knowing that, okay, this is what God is putting in your heart, this is what he wants you to talk about. He told you that,
yeah.
You know, it means something, you know, and just by being obedient, and later on he reveals, you know, the why. And, you know, I think that's what you're getting now. You're getting the why, but you've been doing it and you've been faithful with it. So I'm learning from that, you know, just because I'm a person that I like to know why, like before,
yeah,
even if God
yeah.
is saying to do this, if it's not making sense, I don't know, something wrong with me. I like
sure.
to like to figure it out. I like to know why. And
yeah.
I feel like if I know why, I could be more effective. But just look,
right.
just seeing that, you know, your process is showing that, hey, you know what, just be obedient. If you know it's God that's telling you to do it, just be obedient. And, you know, later if he wants, then he'll reveal, you know, the why part to you. And then.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And, you know, I'm the same way. I'm very, very curious. I want to know why. I think the knowing why is because it's just kind of like on a car, on a motor. You know, if you understand how it all works, you know, if something goes wrong, you can kind of guess within one or two things and what's wrong with it. But if you don't understand how it works, you're going like, oh my gosh, I got to go to the mechanic because I don't know anything about how this thing works. But if you know, okay, when you do this, it makes that noise and it's clicking like that and doing that noise, and when I turn the key on, the power comes on, but the starter won't start, then it's got to be my start. So you start because you understand how things work. You can figure things out, you know. You can you know, and explain it to somebody, and you don't have to depend on other people. You know, you got your information from the book, you know, the manual, and you spent time learning about it, and then the teacher teaches you about it so that you can know about it. And I think that's what we're gonna do. That's what God's had me doing is to find out the intricate details of things so that we can break it down so that people will go, well, I've never heard that before. Well, I've never heard it either. You know, I've never heard it either before. But it's when you start seeing it, you're going, well, that's why he said, you know, drink my blood and eat my body. And like, why would he say that like he said it? It just was too – there was more to it than him just trying to say something to look spiritual or something, you know. He was saying it because it was more than what we realize it is. And that's when we've missed that. And I think we've really, really missed it. And so what I've been doing right now, I've been telling people, I've told people this on the show lately, I've been asking the Lord, you know, I want to know if when we take communion, is it literally physically your body when we pray over it? Is it literally physically before we put it in our mouth? Has that somehow become the body of Jesus in the blood and literally physically? Or is it spiritual, you know? I know it's not a symbol anymore. It's not just a symbol anymore to me because I know somehow it literally becomes the body and blood of Jesus. I just don't know how. I don't know what phase. I don't know, you know, what it means. I don't know how it works. So what I've been doing is, to get that question answered, is I've been every day lately, I've been taking my communion cup thing with a little wafer in it and the juice, and I've taken one, and I put it in my right hand every day, sometimes several times a day, and I pray over it, and I say, God, if this literally is your – when we pray over this in the Spirit and by the anointing, if this literally turns into your body and literally turns into your blood, even though it tastes like grape juice and it tastes like a wafer and it really is your body we're eating, I mean physically, then I want to know it. So every day, Donald, I'm praying over it every day. I don't want somebody else's test. I don't want to hear somebody else say they did it. I want to know myself. So every day I got into my right hand two or three times a day. I put it in my hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Show me how this works so I can tell your people, not to sell a book to make money, but to give it away to your people, to show people how this literally physically works and document it. And if I know that it's something, when I get to be praying over it, to take it and have it tested to see if there's anything unusual about it. You know, is it turning into a different element? Is it changing from a wafer to something else? And I can't see it. I'm literally going to do that now. And by the time we're through with this, I don't know what I'm going to find out. I don't know what I'm going to find out, but I'm going to find out something. And because I'm seeking God about it, he's going to show me. And let me tell you something, bro.
When I find this out, and God shows me what this really means, I'm telling you, get ready, because this is going to change the face of everything. People are going to start getting healed. Miracles are going to start happening. It's going to be mind-boggling when I can tell people, thus saith the Lord, somehow or another. I already know it is the body and blood of Jesus, somehow or another. But I'm going to be able to say, this is how it works, because God himself showed me, and I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. And when you eat this tonight with me, unless God has me pray over it and send them out to people, which I doubt he'll do. He might do that. That could happen. I could, if me laying hands on this, literally if I get examined and with the scientist and have them test it out and see if it literally turned into something, you know, like miraculous, and then I'm going to start praying over boxes and boxes of them, and I'm going to send them out to people for free. We're not going to sell them. We're not going to make money. You don't have to be a partner to get it. We're just going to get it because, you know what, we want Jesus to become real to you in this way. And, dude, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I don't have a clue how it's going to work out. But when I find out, everybody's going to know. I don't care if they think I'm crazy, if they think I've lost my mind, if I've just come up with some bunch of bull. I'm telling you, I'm putting my life on the line because I think that's how important this is all, to find out what it really is and how it really works. I know it turns into a body of blood because I know that, but I just don't know how and when.
Well, I'll be tuning in, waiting for you to get the revelation and for you to pass it on.
Amen, or somebody. I mean, if somebody else gets it too, we'll get it together, whatever. Yeah, like, because I'm pressing God because I really want to know about this, and I think the reason that I have such a strong desire to do it is because God's going to show me. Oh, I just lost Donald. Donald just went bye-bye. And I don't have anybody with their hand up. If you want to talk to me tonight, get your hand up because nobody has their hand up. Now, Donald is accidentally hung up. If he calls back in, maybe, but... But anyway, that's what we're doing, friend. We're going to do that, and I'm believing God for him to show me. Oh, there he is. He's back. Okay.
Yeah, right. I'm back.
You're back. Okay. Yeah, so that's what we're going to do, bro. And when I know, I'll tell everybody, and I'll let them know. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, the part that you've been revealing already is been amazing. And I know that it feels like, you know, God is revealing more like in a faster pace. It's like in a faster pace, he's just revealing more and opening more things up to the people of God. I could tell with you too. You know, just the on the shows that you've been doing, like the revelation and opening up, it's been coming faster, but it's been more like it's been deeper. It's been a lot deeper.
Cool. Cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like is the revelation is coming in like more of a rap, and I don't know. It's
right.
Just things just feel a little different, you know.
Yeah, I think so too. Ever since Biden became when the 1134 numbers that God gave me, 1134 happened, when in 4 days after the election, when, you know, a couple of days before, when 11/3 came on the election day, and we didn't know who was going to be president because they were still counting. They were counting something. They were counting, you know, the ballots. I said on the show one day, you know, right after either on the third or a couple of days after the third, I said, by the fourth, if something happens on the fourth, then we're going to know 11/34 means something big. And sure enough, on the 4th, 11/34, November the 3rd, and 4 days later is when they announced that Joseph Biden had won the election. And that very day, dude, as I've talked about a few times here on the show, something miraculous happened inside of me. Something, the fear and the reverential awe of God exploded. I think explode is a good word. really went forth. It scared me. I mean, I was kind of almost gasping for air, going, oh my gosh. Oh, you know, like that experience you had, a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago, whatever. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And I all of a sudden knew, Donald, that everything God had been showing me about the end times was going to happen next. That was a little scary. And that's when I came on the show after when they actually said he had won it, even though Trump said he won it. And the battle was on. He started suing everybody, you know, trying to, you know, do the suing thing, take it to court. I said that very day. I said, Trump, because 1134 came twice to me supernaturally in two different, totally different things on the same day that both those numbers came together. It was miraculous in my opinion. And so so what happened about a month later or less when those numbers came together on the election, dude, something shifted. Something changed in me, and I could tell. I wasn't sure where it was going to go, but I knew I was on a new thing for sure, and that the end times were upon us. And I just didn't know. I don't know timing. I've given a little bit of timing. I think in the 3 to 5 years, we're going to see we're going to see some major things begin to happen. I think that the tribulation may begin in about 3 to 5 years, something like that. They're going to build the temple in about 3 to 5 years, something like that. It could be sooner, you know, but that's actually going to be happening, and we're going to see it, and it's going to be mind-boggling. So it's coming, man. I think it's coming fast, like you said, because of what's all of a sudden it's upon us. It seems like it's like, oh my gosh. It's upon us, you know. So what's God going to do? He's going to reveal his word to us to help us get through it.
Yeah. You can feel it. You know, you can just feel it. Like it's not just in our world, like in the spiritual world, like as far as the Christians, but you could see, you could feel like how the devil is moving and He's being more brazen, and without, you know, he's hiding less.
Yeah.
It's like he's just throwing things in our face, and but you can see it. It's subtle, but it's not subtle. It's just like how right now, just that's what it feels like. It feels like the testing is getting more fierce, as far as they're still testing things to see, okay, what we'll accept and what we won't accept. Things that will raise our voice regarding, and I think the corona was such a big blow that it sort of weakened us as far as you know, as a people, like we were just scared, like, you know, we don't know. It's like they crippled the masses a little bit, where, you know, a lot of time, like we're willing to listen and do like whatever they're presenting, and if they're saying, hey, this is good, this is the right thing to do, you know, whatever, because we don't know, and it's the government saying it, but it's like they crippled us with that was a big blow. And I think we, you know, the masses has been going with mostly on the things that they've been presenting. So, you know, if I'm thinking like with an evil mind, and you know, I'm testing and I'm seeing, I say, whoa, okay, they're going for about anything that I'm presenting out there. Okay, that's good. And I'll just intensify it little by little. But so far, there's no resistance, and especially, like you say, especially like with Trump out the way, you know, now it's less resistance to what they want to push, you know, as far as America.
Right.
So, you know, it's just interesting to see, and you know, I know I could feel it. I see it, and you know, our world has changed, and in a matter of just 1 year, you know, just a year, like it's changed dramatically. So
yeah,
you know, you never know what's around the corner, what new changes, what new thing is going to happen this year or whatever, or within the 3 to 5 years. You know, it's possible. It's possible, very possible, and you can see it. you know, as you looked at what happened with us, you know, so you can see it that, okay, things can happen and it can happen real quick.
It's more possible than any other time in the world. You know, of course, we're not going to try to hype or anything. We're just going to read as it goes. But also, I think we're going to know a lot of things by the revelation God gives us, not of when it's going to come and all that. I mean, that's part. But it's more of, you know, that we can see it. We can see a definite change, what that change means. We'll just go as we go. If God shows us something, we'll say it. If not, we'll just kind of, we're not trying to hype it up and make it happen. It's just happening, man. I mean, it's just obvious. Like you said, it's not hidden. Now, listen to this. This not hidden thing, like you said, so beautifully. By the way, Donald and Tanya did a show Saturday. They did another show a few Saturdays ago, and hopefully they're going to start doing more shows and start getting in there and ministering to people because it's really great, and I really appreciate you guys doing that. But but what you're saying tonight is so powerful because they're not hiding things. So what does that mean, not hiding? What is it coming out of the closet in all these different ways? You know, people have been coming out of the closet for a while, but not with this kind of, like the Democratic Party came out of the closet big time, and they just kind of took over, and they did whatever they did to Trump. I don't, you know, whatever they did, it was, they took over. That's what they did. They get in there, and they outsmarted him. We can call it cheating. You can call it whatever they did, but they still just outsmarted him. I mean, as far as if they did cheat, and they're cheating, they out-cheated him. You know, they outsmarted him. They it showed that, like you said, they don't really care what they did. They just did it, and that's it. You don't like it? That's it. Get out. You know, like that. And so what does that mean? So what does that reveal? This is one thing I want to say, and you can comment on. So they're not hiding it anymore. That they're just the system people are just going to come in and take over if you don't like it and stuff. So what does that mean? It's called the unveiling of the Antichrist or of the one world system, the unveiling of it. Why? Why? Because it's not being hidden anymore. God, it's time. God's uncovering it, and they don't even care anymore. Look what they did with Trump. They didn't give a rip what they did. They did what they did. They didn't care what it looked like. They didn't care what anybody thought about it. You don't like it? That's just tough, man. We took over. Hey, too late now. And yet God allowed them to do it, which is really odd. Unless you understand what's going on.
And that's what I noticed the most is just that, you know, especially America, they're good at, you know, hiding things and, you know, showing a face like, you know, they're doing good at all times. But this time it felt like, you know, even with, you know, with social media and everything like that, with so many different outlets showing that, hey, there's proof of corruption, there's proof of this, and it's like it doesn't matter. It's like it didn't matter, and it doesn't matter. Like, what is, because at one point it felt like people were scared to, like, show the corruption and show, like, hey, things are a little shaky, but like, nobody cares. I don't care what they got out there. I don't care if they got things on camera. It's like whatever we want to happen is going to happen. And that's what they're showing. I don't know if everybody else is seeing that, but that's what I see. I see, like, man, you know what? Like, they're taking over, and they're letting you know that they're doing it in your face, and you can complain if you want. You can cry about it if you want. They don't care. They don't care. And so that's the difference. That's the difference that, you know, if you have eyes to see that, you say, oh, wait a second. You know, it doesn't matter. All the complaining you're doing, it doesn't matter. People are showing that they're brazen about it. They don't care. So the way I feel about it is like, okay, it's time for you to stop complaining about it and time to suit up. It's time to suit up because they already suited up. They ready. And or are you going to just sit on the sidelines, keep complaining about what they're doing? You know?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm still on? Okay.
I thought it hung up again.
But, it's like they're showing you. It's like the devil is showing you, yes, I'm here. I'm here to fight. I'm here to – and or are we going to – because we built – it's like we built up a habit of just complaining and just, you know, oh, look what you guys are doing and doing this, and we're just complaining.
Yeah.
But
right.
I just feel like, okay, it's time to fight.
Yeah.
It's just like Goliath is out here. He's showing his face. Goliath is talking trash. He's doing
yeah.
it. I was time for the Davids to say, okay, who all right, you're showing, you're pumping your chest to suit up and, you know, just fight the
yeah.
way that God wants us to fight. God wants us to be aware of things that's happening. He wants to reveal it.
And what's amazing to me, man, is this whole pre-trib rapture thing, and y'all know how I feel about that, so I don't even hide that even. Just like that, Goliath had, think about that very scenario you're talking about, which is so powerful, by the way, Goliath had the whole body of Christ, quote-unquote, all of Israel in fear. Saul, who was running the army, he was the king. Everybody was scared to death of the Antichrist or the big, bad DNA dude. I mean, this guy had DNA. You don't even want to talk about his DNA. Not his brothers, not his mothers, not anybody, because his DNA was like rocking like you know what. But, you know, what did David do? Here came little David, got his rock in his pocket, man. What are you guys afraid of, man? What have you been doing? You got your eyes on the Antichrist? You got your eyes on how big and bad he can talk? Oh, we got to get out of here. We can't. We got to hide. We got to run for the hills. We got to go to heaven because we can't handle the Antichrist, and we can't handle him. He's just so strong, and he puts so much fear on people, and that's what's happened through preachers. Preachers have played the role. I hate to say this. No, I don't hate to say it. I love saying it. Preachers have been Goliath and didn't even know it, roaring at the body of Christ. The Antichrist, he's going to be so bad. You guys, he's going to cut your head off. You know, I mean, even you know, all these big guys, I don't want to mention their names right now, but I don't mind mentioning their names, but I'm not going to do it right now. John Hagee's one of them, I will say, John. I heard John this weekend talk about it.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm slipping up already. John Hagee says, well, you know, they're going to cut your head off. You know that? They're going to cut your head off. The Antichrist is going to, I heard him say it this weekend. He's going to rule the world, the whole world. You want to be here for that? You want to be here for that? And he doesn't even talk about the woman who's hidden in the wilderness. That's the world. He didn't talk about the 144,000. He didn't talk about the tribes and tongues and nations that are going to be saved during that time. He didn't even talk about any of that. The whole world. He literally said this, and I'm not taking it out of context. He's going to take over the whole world. And this is Goliath coming through John Hagee. Going to take over the whole world. And you better run for the heavens because, I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to cut your head off. You know, and then here comes little David going like, why are you listening to this John Hagee boy? He needs to get a haircut anyway. We need to deal with this boy. Hey, let's go after that false doctrine. Let's go after that fear-mongering. And little David gets this little rock, and he starts running toward him. He said, I'm not afraid of you, you uncircumcised doctrine, uncircumcised teaching the body of Christ. You know, we're coming after that spirit. We're coming after that fear. We're not afraid of you, Goliath. You can't intimidate us. The Antichrist, you may be thinking, we're going to rule the whole world. You better bow down to me because I am Goliath, you know. Oh, my God. And then David, just one little stone, man, zap. And then who cut whose head off? I love this part, man. I'm so glad you brought this up, my brother. I love my brother. I'm so glad you brought it because now I get to preach a little bit. Who cut whose head off? We need John Hagee, honey. I love you, my brother. You're a man of God. You need to turn that around and remember who cut whose head off. Oh, it wasn't the Antichrist cutting the head off. It wasn't Goliath. No, it was little old David. Took him out with a rock, and then he cut his head off, and then he held his head up saying, yeah, our God shall supply all your needs. Our God shall be you. We are the warriors. And all of a sudden, all Israel got courage. Then that's when they got the courage, because somebody had to stand up, like me and my brother tonight. We have to stand up and say, what are we fearing the Antichrist for? What are you afraid of? Let's go chop his head off. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. All right. Y'all blame all that on Donald because that's all his fault. Cheers, my brother. And we didn't set that up either. He just said it by accident. Or by the Holy Ghost, I mean.
Yeah,
so praise God.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, yeah. Man. I get excited.
This right there. That's what needs to be preached right there. It's time for, the children of God, get in battle mode and train ourselves and get better and lean on God and, just learn how to war. Like, just like David said, teach my hand how to war, They're roaring. The devil is roaring and, showing his head. And, God made us for a purpose for a time like this. And we're here. Nobody else that's here. We're here. So,
it's
time for us to, we're already equipped, it's just for us to be shown, what he equipped us for. And, just get ready, man. Just get ready. And, part of me, of course, I think when there's a fear, a slight fear, but there's always excitement with it, it's a fight. It's a fight, and you got God on your side, and then now you're looking at, okay, God, all right, I hear the devil, all right, now what we gonna do? Let's get in a meeting and let's talk about this. Let's see this what strategy we're gonna come up with. You want us to walk around Jericho seven times, or what you want us to do? I just feel like it's exciting times, and it's a new day, new time, and things that's gonna happen. Even just like how we're seeing things in the world that's happening that wow, we never seen this in our lifetime, that's transpiring. But I also feel like the same thing with God's people, for us to see things that I've never seen in my lifetime. I've never seen, for God to do work that we never see. We heard about, we probably read about in the Bible or in Acts, but now I feel like, hey, this is the perfect time for us to see these things happen in our lifetime. And, hey, instead of running and, you were born for a time like this. This is your time. Everybody has their time in history. Moses had his time. David had his time. And this is your time now. Now you're here, in the end times or gearing up for the end times. You're here for a reason. So I was just, all right, God, show me the purpose. Show me my purpose and just give me the direction as far as how you want me to war. How do you want me to attack, That's the point I'm excited about.
Yeah, it's exciting. When I had that, well, the 11:34 thing happened with the Biden day, the day Biden was announced. A fear hit me. It wasn't an ungodly fear. It was really a reverential fear. And I was in kind of awe at the moment. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this is all about to happen. Because God spoke to me about Biden, many years ago, and I just kept waiting for him to play his role. I wasn't even sure when exactly. I just knew that he was going to play a role somehow or another, which made absolutely no sense. Being 70 something years old, according to most people, can't even talk. How's he going to do anything? The fact that he became the president of the United States of America within itself and the shape that he said he was in and pretty well proved it all the time how dull he was, that was totally, miraculous within itself. It's like God put him in there, to show that I can do whatever. When I start telling you I'm going to do something, I'll do it. I don't care how dull the guy is. I don't care what you talk about him, how bad you talk about him. If I want him in there to do a job, if I want Nebuchadnezzar coming to take out Israel, then he's going to take out Israel. I don't care what you think about Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, he's a demon. He's a devil. It doesn't matter what you think. When I allow it to happen, it's going to happen because it's just going to happen. And that's what Biden was an example of. It's like they can't figure out. No political person ever even thought Biden is ever going to do anything whatsoever. None of them did. There wasn't one of them that said, oh, yeah, Biden, he's hot. Not one of them did. Until right there when that brother, that African-American brother from the Carolinas, said, we're going to stick up for Joe. And after that, he started winning, But other than that, nobody ever talked about Joe Biden. Nobody. So the fact that it happened within itself is miraculous and ought to show people that there's something going on that may just be beyond your little thinking that you got going on with the Bible and the Word of God, which has been totally misunderstood and misinterpreted, completely misunderstood and completely misinterpreted, and people are going to miss the boat on it. I hate to say, a lot of people are going to miss the boat on it because they don't know what's going on. The message we got into tonight about what I preached on tonight, you know, people need to hear that. You need to absorb that information because this is exactly what God is doing. He's showing us that I took Trump out for a reason so that the church wouldn't trust in politics. I don't want you trusting in politics. Yeah, it's good to vote, pray for your president, pray for politics, pray for it, but don't get your eyes on it like it's going to save us. It's going to be the answer. It's not the answer, friend. It's nice to have it when it's good, but God says that's over. It's time to shift gears. Now, either shift gears or get left behind, and I'm not talking about the rapture either. So if you don't get a hold of it, friend, the pre-tribulation rapture, you're gonna miss out on what God's doing. That's what scares me. But okay, Donald, I think we did good on that. You got me all stirred up. Now I'm ready to just go off on everybody.
Yeah. All right, Randy. Oh, before
let's pray for you guys.
I just needed
I want to pray for you guys. Anything you want to pray about, or just. Just pray for you guys.
Yeah, I just want prayer for Tanya and I, like our purpose, like just our purpose, and
right.
We sort of know like what direction God wants us to go in. So I'm just praying for it to come forth, for our purpose to come forth, and for us to step in whatever God has for us.
Right. Right. Okay. Awesome. I already got the answer for that, so here you go. I'm going to meet you, and then we'll pray for you. Thank you guys for coming on. Thank you for being one of our hosts. I'm hoping that Donald will come on and start hosting shows more. Him and Tanya coming on and pray for people. It's a precious, precious couple, just pure and beautiful and innocent before God, and just God's going to use them. God's going to raise them up. We watch. You watch what I'm telling you. God's going to raise them up, and it's going to be awesome. So, but here's the answer to your question. Donald, about your purpose, which we did talk about, I think, last night. We talked about our purpose last night. And so here's really the answer. And other people can listen to this, too, because this will be for you also. Your purpose is revealed to you by the revelation from God that you listen to. In other words, people that listen to John Hagee, and I really love John Hagee, honest to God. He's got some great teachings on some other things. He just misses it. Horribly on the end times, horribly so. But his other teachings are great, so I love him. He's a man of God. But people who listen to his revelation, which is not really revelation from God, but on that part of it at least, on the end times, most of it is not of God at all. Some of it I'm sure he's got right, but the pre-trib and all that, he's totally got that messed up. But other than that, you know, the people that listen to his revelation are going to be thinking, you know, they're going to have their mindset on what he teaches, and that is, don't worry about it. We're going to be taken out. You know, God wouldn't leave you here. Going to get your head cut off. I can't believe he said he's going to get your head cut off. I'm thinking, thank God David cut, you know, Goliath's head off, which is, you know, kind of the opposite of that. But anyway, so, yeah, and the two witnesses are going to get killed. That is true. But that's because their prophesying time has finished, as they said. The reason that God allowed it, you see, you have to understand what God allowed. God allowed John the Baptist to be killed. Why? Because his prophecy was over. His work was over. Done. 33 years old, 34, whatever it was. Done. I mean, you know, he was a smart guy. He did the will of God. He got the purpose done. It was over for him. Two witnesses, same thing. When they're through prophesying, or Revelation chapter 11, read it for yourself, then God allows them to be killed by the Antichrist. So he does, you know, chop their head off. But it's because the David, the son of David, Jesus, is about to come back and do something worse than cutting his head off, and that is cast him into the lake of fire for 1,000 years. That's going to be worse than having your head cut off. I mean, I'd rather have my head cut off than have that for a minute, much less 1,000 years. So, you know, hey, so you got to think about that. But here's the purpose thing, Donald and Tanya, if you would. The revelation that you listen to, like, you know, like you're listening to our revelation, the revelation God's given us, and about the DNA and about how that all explains the Antichrist and the chip and all the things that are going on with all that, to get a sober understanding of that, get a reality check on how it's going to really happen, which very few people have a reality check on that. I was totally shocked when this guy had this going on. I don't know if I agree with everything he says, but 85% of it is good. And just the fact that he even had the information he had and even used the word code, you know, and the whole thing is shocking to me. So the revelation that you have unlocks your purpose. It sets you in line for you. So you don't seek the purpose. We seek the purpose of God, the will of God. But what we do is the revelation we get is what brings us into our purpose. It's what gets our eyes opened up to how to see that when our purpose is passing by us, we don't let it go by. We jump on. You see what I'm saying? The revelation you listen to doesn't give you a purpose. It opens you up to your purpose because you think, you know, differently. You're thinking differently. You're thinking through the spirit of revelation, and you go, okay, wow, I never thought about it like that. That all makes sense. That's amazing. The DNA thing, the Antichrist thing, the 666 thing, all of it making sense. And we're going to be here. God's going to protect us. God's going to use us mightily in the end times. And the two witnesses are going to be an example of, you know, how God's just going to rock and roll right through the Antichrist season. During his hottest time in the last 3.5 years, they're going to be rocking and rolling. They're going to make him look like he ain't got no power over anything until their prophecy time is over. So getting that revelation in you opens you up to your purpose. And as you're open to it and you're seeing it and you're going, God, wow, you know, yeah, I go to work every day and do the thing, but when I listen to the revelation you give me, that's what draws you into your purpose. It opens the door for it. Because you're thinking, you know, in my opinion, it's really going on. And when you're thinking, like, Jesus was misunderstood by Peter, and even though Peter knew he was the Messiah, he thought the Messiah, according to all the Jewish teachings, or the revelation of the Jewish teachings, was when the Messiah comes, he's going to reign forever on the throne of David. So that's why Peter rebuked Jesus and said, you can't die, because that's not, the Messiah is not going to die. He's going to reign on the, so he had a misunderstanding, he had the revelation wrong, because he listened to their teachings, and though what they used was scripture, but the revelation they got on it was not God. It's like John Hagee's preacher thing. It's not God. So therefore, what was he looking for? Even though he was right there with the Messiah, he was going to miss his purpose. What was his purpose? His purpose wasn't sitting on the throne with Jesus, which is what he thought, since he's connected to the main dude, the Messiah, John, James and John, and him, they're all going to sit on the right and left hand, you know, in the earth and rule on the throne of David. That's what he was going with it. But that wasn't the revelation from heaven. The revelation from heaven was, yeah, Peter was going to rule. He was going to rule with Christ. As Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, he was going to rule the earth and build a throne, if you will, where when Ananias and Sapphira came in, you know, Peter didn't judge them. He said, you're not talking to me. You didn't just lie to me, Ananias. You lied to God. And God did his thing. What Peter? Peter didn't say, oh, I think you need to be dead right now. No, God did that. That was God dealing with protecting the church. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about we're going to see in the end times. Well, hopefully we'll see very little of that and more of getting people to repent of their lives and get their lives changed without getting them locked up in prison. Because when we have our own government, the government of God, we're gonna bring somebody before the throne of God, and they see all the other people that lied deliberately and willfully, and they're dead, and they go, "Well, wait a minute, I'm sweating. I don't want to go there because I'm lying. I did do it. I did kill him. I did murder. I did rape." And so, okay, we're gonna take you off here and off to the side, and some the kingdom of priests that we have from Jesus are going to. They've sworn an oath to God. They're not gonna tell anybody about your sins. So you can get it all out of the open. Tell them how you murdered them. Tell them get it there, so they can speak forgiveness over you, so you can accept Christ as your Savior and get totally changed. Instead of get chained up, you're going to get totally changed. So you get changed by the power of Jesus instead of going to the government of the world and the government of the world locking you up because you did that. They don't give a rip whether you changed or not. You murdered them. You said you got the proof. You got the evidence. You're locked up. That's it. No, but in the government of the church, they open up. They get forgiveness. They get saved. They get changed, and they become a testimony to the whole world. That, to me, friend, is what God is going to do. That's the revelation to me from heaven. And when you get that revelation, Tanya and Donald, when you start seeing what God is going to do and what he is doing, then that revelation opens you up to your purpose. So I can't just say, oh, tomorrow you're going to be doing this. No, your purpose, what you listen to, what is revealed to you, and then your own personal revelation, what God takes that and makes it yours, where it's actually yours, where you get it from God. I said it, but God gives it to you and makes it yours, right? Then it becomes yours. Then just, you understand it. You don't just hear it from me and say, that's really cool, Randy. No, now you got it, and now it's yours, right? It becomes yours. Revelation becomes Donald's and Tanya's, and that revelation is what opens you up to what, like Peter, where Peter's purpose, his purpose ended up not being ruling with Jesus on the throne of David, but ruling with Jesus on the throne with him at the right hand of the Father, and Peter down here being a fisher of God, a fisher of men, not a fisher of fish, and that was his purpose. So you see what I'm saying? Revelation, brings you to the place of understanding and opens up the door in your heart and your mind to go, okay, well, this is the kind of thing I'm looking for. I'm not looking to reign with Jesus on the right hand of the Father here in the earth. I'm looking to, you know, what his real purpose was. On the day of Pentecost, got filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost came on him, he spoke in other tongues, God blessed him, and then he started healing the sick and raising the dead like Jesus did, and found himself in his purpose, amen, which is what Jesus wanted. Yeah, so your revelation, that's why Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood isn't revealed to this thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Because once you get a revelation, even though you may go up and down for a while, once that revelation takes a hold of you, it sets you in that place where, after the day of Pentecost, you know, that revelation set in. The Holy Spirit confirmed, yes, feed my sheep. You're going to feed the sheep, Peter. You're going to feed the sheep, Donald. You're going to feed the sheep, Tanya. You're going to feed the sheep. Hallelujah. So get ready. And his mind was open to his purpose. Amen. Yeah. And so at the right time, in the right place, it happened. Literally happened. So there you go. Anyway, I'm getting all wrapped up and caught up and all kind of 214-415. You want to talk to me real quick, please? All right, 214-415. Yes.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, talk to you?
From Texas.
Hey, Barbara, what you doing, girl?
Oh, I didn't take no medicine to go to bed early, so I said, let me turn the show on.
Well, good. I'm glad you did.
I had back surgery again.
Oh,
it's
another one?
Year old. Uh-huh.
So you had one a couple of years ago, right? Or no? And then
2016. And then
okay.
I did one last year.
Okay, that's what I thought, last year. And then you've had another one now?
No, that's part of
that
1 year.
That was one. Okay.
February, March, April. Yeah, it's only 2 months old. It's a year and 2 months old.
Wow. So how's it going? Is it? Do you have a lot of pain? Or I mean, my grandmother. The reason I know a little bit about back surgeries is because my grandmother, my mother's mother, had back surgery, and just always had pain one way or the other. And then my mom had some back surgery, and you know, I don't know what they fixed or didn't fix, but she still had pain. So they say that you have to be pretty bad shape for them to operate, because operations are really a big deal on your back. Is that true?
That's true.
Wow. Well, bless your
but
heart.
Yeah, I did better this surgery. I did better than the last one. The last one, I could never get over that one. It took forever. It took almost 2 years. But this one,
wow.
I was walking
yeah.
immediately, and I still claim my healing, and I didn't use a walker
sure.
or a cane. I walked.
Wow.
But I stayed in, and they took a bone out. Yeah, they took a bone out and put larger screws. They put 4 screws and 2 rods. So.
Well,
yeah.
that's not fair. I mean, we gave you that bone. How can they pick it out?
Yeah, you got to talk to God and the doctor.
I'm going to. Yeah. You give me his name and number. I want to talk to him. I want to get that bone and believe God to put that back in you. Bless God.
Yep, and then, but you got a long way to go because I did two other surgeries right before that one. So I just thought I'd get everything over with. Yeah, I did everything. I got everything over with. And so I'm just trying to lay here and heal. I just stay sleep a lot. I sleep a lot. And I lost a lot of weight.
Oh, you lost a lot of weight?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, that's great.
I think the wind can blow me away.
Seriously, I've got a COVID gut. It's not too bad, but I call it my COVID gut. I just blame it on COVID, right? That's because I couldn't go anywhere or do anything. Couldn't go to the gym. Yeah. I couldn't go to the gym for a few months. So even though I walked, I don't know. Anyway, I just blame it on COVID.
That's what everybody said. And I never did it.
Really?
Inside. They said, how did you get it off? I said, pain, that's all it takes for me is pain. Faster than pain. So,
yeah,
that's
pain.
What I did.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to your daughter, I think a couple of nights ago. I don't remember, what is today? Today's Tuesday. I might have talked to her Monday? Was I talked to her Monday? I can't remember.
I don't know, but she told me she talked to you, and she was so excited. She was happy.
Oh, cool. Oh, great. Yeah. I talked to her, I think it was last night. I can't remember. It's been maybe a few days ago. I talked to so many people I can't keep up. But, yeah, so, wow, there's been a lot of water under the bridge since we've got to talk to you. This is awesome. Praise God.
Sir.
I love it. It's great. Well, let's pray for you. Let me mute you. What I do now is I mute people just for a moment, and then I'm going to mute you for a second, and then that way I don't have any background noise coming in. I got to where I had a lot of background noise over the years, so I thought, man, I could try to shut it off. I said, well, why am I telling people to shut things off, and why don't I just shut off my end? So that's what I do now. I just mute it. That way people can have on whatever they want on the other end, and it's fine as I pray for them. So thank you, Jesus, for Barbara, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for giving her a backbone of courage. God, I see the spirit of courage coming upon you in a brand new way. Because, we're talking about your back tonight, and what I kept seeing was the spirit of courage, like when God gave Joshua a new backbone. I mean, that's really what he did. God gave Joshua a Holy Ghost backbone, basically, is what he did. And when he did that, of course, he goes to, one of the biggest miracles that ever happened in the Old Testament, in my opinion, as far as winning a miraculous thing, an intervention of God, when the walls of Jericho came down. And so I thank you, Jesus, for Barbara, God, that you called her to the walls of Jericho, the walls of Jericho ministries, or the walls of Jericho anointing. And before that happened, his backbone needed some operation done on it because he was feeling a little afraid. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, he just became the leader of Israel. And all the old folks had died. Only old folks that were left was him and Caleb, Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two left from the old crew, and everybody else was brand new. So he had this brand new crew going on, and he was a little afraid. He saw God use Moses. He was very faithful to Moses, very loyal, and just thought, well, I got an easy job here. I can just. It wasn't that easy, but I'll help Moses in his calling, and then all of a sudden. Moses is gone, and Moses passes it on to him personally and says, it's all yours now, Joshua, take it. And he was like going, whoa, dude, I mean, this is a little bit more than, I don't know, God. And you see it. Why would God send a captain of the host of the army of the Lord to him and give him courage if he didn't need it? So you know that he was fearful. He was having struggles because when it comes to supernatural things, Barbara, you and I can have all the courage in the world to deal with any kind of legal thing, big, bad, ugly corporations or whatever. But when it comes to dealing with supernatural things, which he was dealing with now, that's a whole different thing. Our courage, as great as that can be, never is enough. When our courage comes into contact with the supernatural realm, oh, our courage just melts like wax. It's just like, oh, my God. So we need supernatural Holy Ghost power in our backbone. And that's what God gave him a Holy Ghost operation and went in, and the captain of the host, the arm of the Lord, said, "Hey, Joshua, be of good courage." And every time he said it, oh, his back, and he probably heard a pop in his back, like pop, pop. And he told him like four or five or six times, or something like that. And so it was a pretty big operation because he had like, I don't know how many times the captain of the host of the army Lord told him that, but it was several times. Be courageous. Be not afraid. You know, be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. He said it several times. So every time he was doing it, it's like his back was being operated on, like God was sticking a courage spine up in his spine and strengthening his spine so he could stand up against supernatural things. The natural courage and supernatural don't even mix at all. The natural courage, you can have the most brave person in the world who will stand up and fight for his brothers, and take a machine gun shooting at him and go run after him and try to kill him, and people, oh, he's the most courageous person that's ever lived. That courage and God's and the courage that we need for supernatural stuff, that courage would melt. It can't even function. So God knew that with Joshua. Joshua had a lot of courage, but God said, "You're going to need more courage, man. You're going to need the courage that comes from the supernatural realm." So, God, I thank you for Barbara tonight. God, I thank you for giving her that Jericho backbone. For Jericho was huge walls, impassable, impossible, no way. And yet God says, "Joshua, I'm going to give you the courage, supernatural courage, to trust me when it looks like it's crazy. How are you going to walk around the walls and not say anything, not rebuke a demon or do nothing, just walk around the walls, you know? Yeah. And then at the end shot, play a little tune." That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because it was supernatural warfare. It was supernatural information. It was supernatural. And God had to give him supernatural courage to be able to even do that without shouting at a demon once in a while when he went around the first time. "Oh, no, I rebuke you, Satan." Why? Because, you know, his own courage would try to, he would flip out and start saying, "Oh, I got to get." God says, "I'm going to give you the courage to keep your mouth shut until the right time. And when the right time is, you'll shout the shout of victory. The music will play. The horn, they're going to blow the horns, and that wall's going to come tumbling down, my God." Joshua's going, "Yeah, that's going to take some courage, all right, because when you start telling people, we're just going to walk around that wall and it's going to fall, they're going to go like, she's lost her mind, Jesus. Jesus, she's lost." You can hear people praying for me. Randy's lost his mind. Barbara's lost her. She done went and lost her mind. She's lost, man. She can't even, that ain't going to happen. How can that happen? That can't happen. No way. We fought some other people with swords and stuff. How can we get it? Well, give us some kind of strategy. We'll make some ladders and ran it. And it took courage. It took courage for Joshua to say, "No way, body of Christ. No way. We're going to do it God's way." And let me tell you something. When in the prophetic realm, for sure, if you don't have the courage of the Lord, you're not going to be saying stuff that God wants you to say. It's going to be contradictory to what everybody else thinks and says. And like, you know, and all the other prophets are saying one thing, and you got to say a different thing, just the opposite? No. Without the courage of God, that ain't going to happen. You're going to melt, fall apart. But with the courage of God, hallelujah, you can stand up against anything. Because with courage comes a courageous word. With courage comes a courageous ability to know that God is going to do something. And that's what gives you the courage, is knowing that God has spoken to you. And when God speaks to you about something, and everybody else is hearing something completely different, and you're hearing one thing, and you're telling the whole world the opposite of what the other prophets are saying? No. When God speaks that to you, the word itself is courage. Hallelujah. Wow. Amen, Barbara. Well, we went to Jericho and back.
Amen. You had me laughing.
Oh.
About the courage.
Well, good.
Walking around the wall, they're going to think you done lost it. Well, you're getting to speak.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You dealt with that.
Oh, yes, sir. I know.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I know. They think you're awkward. It's your words is not lined up with everybody else's. And that's true. Because I said, "Lord, I hear the same thing, and that's not what you've given me.
Wow.
So I'll be like, okay, Lord. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
yeah,
it takes courage to stick up. You know, it takes courage to stick up. Sticking out, people think, oh, I want to stick out. Yeah, wait until you find out what you're going to be sticking out about, and then you're going to be going, oh, well, yeah, no, I don't want to stick out about that now, Jesus. No, I don't want to be different. Like, no, not on that one. No, I mean, I thought you were going to be like something else, you know, like, no, no, not that. Yeah.
That's true. Obedience better than sacrifice. But anyway, I thank God for you. I thank God for you saying what you're saying. And I listen to the show, but sometimes I'm calling from a different number, or either it's my Google number or another number.
Okay. Oh,
and
great.
I fall asleep. So this phone is available tonight, so you can know
good.
Who I am.
You didn't take your sleepy minutes. That's good. So we
no,
hallelujah.
No,
we got blessed tonight.
Usually I'm sleeping at 6, Randy. I go to bed at 6.
Oh,
I'd be
my
so
God.
Tired.
Wow.
I just fall asleep. I know I go to bed before the chicken crow. I don't know if they crow or not.
Yeah,
but
well,
I do have
if
a
I didn't have
train.
Awesome. Well, if I didn't do late shows, my shows go late because in California, when we're on at 9, it's only 7 o'clock in California. You know, 7 p.m. So it's early. But in New York, it's when we're on at 9, it's 11. So it's like, what do you do? You know, 9 o'clock. That's it. So we're here till sometimes 1 o'clock, and then to get to sleep after that sometimes it takes a little time. But especially when you get all excited talking about the end times that we've been doing, kind of hard to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. With your mind is like going yeehaw, you know, ride 'em cowboy. So awesome. So praise God. So Gus got you a Jericho anointing and a Jericho calling, and Jericho was the first battle that they had. Once they crossed over, and crossing over, I've been preaching that we've crossed over, you know, a while back. And but I mean, as far as passing through Jericho, that's a pretty big. That was an amazing test for Joshua to see how God was going to bless. And it was a very special time because when all the gold and silver and all the cloth and everything, all of it belonged to the priesthood. You know, they didn't, and you know, the one guy who stole a garment and took something, I can't remember what he took, and brought defeat on the whole body, on the whole, on all of Israel, because he stole that, and they had to come back and find out who did it. And so that was a big deal. It was a really big deal. And that first battle was the Lord's battle and the Lord's victory in a very special way, because everything, all the booty belonged to the Lord. And then after that, it was all different, you know. But so there's this very special time going on with that. So very cool. I don't know what that is exactly. Awesome.
Wow. That kind of like went over my head, but.
Oh, me too.
I could grab it, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's not as, I do this all the time. I give words all the time. Sometimes I understand it. Sometimes I don't either. But, I don't always understand everything. That's one thing about in the supernatural realm, you give information even if you don't understand it. If we have to understand everything when we give it, at least on my end, you know, I sometimes give information everybody understands. Sometimes I give people information, they're going like, I don't have a clue what that means. You know, that people think the prophet, prophesiers are different than prophets. Prophesiers,
yes, right.
I think, you know, work in the confirming realm, I think, a little more. Prophets can go either way. We can confirm what you already know. And then we can, then because prophets give words, that the first words, you know, God didn't reveal things in the earth until he does it first to a prophet. He reveals it first to the prophets. You know, so we get different words. We get information that nobody's heard of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We get information that nobody's got.
Good.
So it's a whole different realm. We flow in both areas, so I get used to that. So either way it happens, but awesome. So hallelujah.
I receive it. I love it. Thank God for the Jericho anointing.
Yeah, I'm going to get jealous over that. That's awesome. Jericho anointing. That's
like a multitude of people that you're delivering.
Yeah.
It's like the nation.
Right. And
coming
it's a
together.
First, it's a, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about it. It's a first fruit. So let's just think just for a minute. I don't really know what it means for you. I'm gonna go somewhere though for a minute, and you can, if you get something great. If you don't, God will show you later or whatever. But just think about this. If we've crossed over now that Biden has become president, and it wasn't what everybody thought it was going to be, and we're entered into a new place. You know, when they crossed over Jordan, they entered into a new place. They no longer got manna. The manna dried. The manna never fell again after that. A lot of people don't know that. They never ate manna again, which was God's provision for them in the wilderness. Right? That was the manna and the quail. They didn't have quail. They didn't have manna. That was God's provision. Didn't drink water from a rock anymore, like Moses gave. What did they do? The Bible says they ate of the corn of the land, which is a different food. Now they're eating food from the land, not from heaven. So it was God. It was heaven on earth. It was provision in the earth. You see what I'm saying? So if we've entered into a new place, crossed over Jordan, so to speak, and the body of Christ is now entering to that phase of Jericho, then we're looking at, if you will, now just think about this, the first big battle for the body, for the new body of Christ that's getting new revelation from heaven about this new place we're in, this new land, this new place, this new understanding of what's going on, the new thing that we're entering to the end time. If you start thinking about that for a moment, what does Jericho mean for us in that? In other words, it's just for example, what is the Biden administration going to do, or what's out there that is going to be our first major battle? I mean, major battle that we're going to fight. Is it going to be the corona? Is it going to be the vaccination thing with them, you know, with the mark of the beast? What's it going to be that we're going to have to conquer? You see what I'm saying? What does that mean? And it's obviously going to be a very holy thing. Everything God does is holy, but Jericho is a very holy thing because all the booty from that, the gold, the silver, the cloth, everything, God says don't, you know, it all goes to the priesthood. It all goes for the temple. It all goes for, you know, the priest. And then after that, then it was a different thing. Then everything, you know, they got everything. They got that one, and then all went to the priest, all went to ministry, and then everything else, was different. So whatever's going on, Barbara, whatever we're about to deal with, and I'm just getting this right now. This is fresh on me right now. I'm just getting this. We are somehow going to watch and partake of a Jericho battle that's going to take supernatural courage somehow, some way. I don't know if it's going to be like India just got hit with the coronavirus again in a very, 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 very big way. Is that coming to America? If it does, I don't even know what the Jericho is going to be right now. I'm just getting this fresh in the spirit. So somehow we are coming to a Jericho of impossibility, and God's going to say, Barbara or Randy, as a prophet, you're not going to do warfare on this like we always do it, Chandler or Williams. We're going to do this differently. You're not going to say much. You're not going to be saying a whole lot. You're going to be walking around it. And after I tell you it's enough, then you're going to shout or let the trumpets be blown or something. And when you do that, if you do it my way, it's going to be a great victory, even for you financially. Financially. Yeah, for the priest of the Lord, for the ministries of the Holy Ghost. And believe me, there's a brand new ministries God raised up. It's like Peter, James, and John, and all the 12, and then the 120, you know, the new disciples that used to be the priesthood. under the law, that was the only priesthood there was. Now we got a new priesthood going on, the Peter, James, and Johns, who used to be fishermen and whatever, and now they're tax collectors, and now we're going to do something different. So I don't know what's up with that. There's something going on with that right now. I just caught something in the spirit. I'm not even sure what that means, but wow.
Wow. Man, I mean, I got so much out of that as you were talking. I mean, it was just phenomenal. Like, oh, my God, I don't even know where to begin with it. When you begin to talk about, you know, walking, and you didn't realize that that's all I do at church. I come in before everybody gets there, and I walk. I walk the premises. I walk in the building, and I never sit down. Kind of like a watchman on the wall, you know, you watching,
yeah,
and you're waiting,
wow.
But you're praising God, you're talking to him, but they don't hear you unless you're in the spirit. And as I walk, sometimes I don't say anything. I'm just looking at God because he wants me to walk. And then sometimes I won't say nothing. He just have me on my face, and I just lay there. And then he'll say, get up. Now I need you to walk again. And then he put me back on my face. And then he'd tell me, now I need you to turn this way, go that way. And I'm like, okay, God, you're having me to decree, declare something in the spirit. And that's what he'd be saying. But he won't tell me to say anything just yet. He just said, listen
right.
to me.
Wow.
And keep silent because of time.
That's awesome.
And he was telling me to watch because I could see these creatures. I mean, I could see the things that was happening to the nation. I could see what was going on in the world. I could see this thing that looked like a sneaky snake. It was like pale, and all it had was two eyes. You couldn't even see his mouth. People were so busy on their cell phones and talking. This creature thing would come from behind and swallow them up. They would disappear. And God would just show me some weird thing that was going on, how it got started. He showed me how it bought, and they asked me, well, do you watch the news? I said, no, I don't. They said, well, you know you got to cover up. I said, I don't know it until people tell me. And I never did catch anything. And right this day, and I went ahead and did the shot because people were afraid of the shot. I said, I'm going to get it just to say I did it. And I prayed about it. And the Lord gave me a peace, and I didn't feel anything. Did nothing happen. And I heard all these horror stories that it's going to do this to you, it's going to do that. No, it didn't do that. It didn't do anything. Only thing I did was they said, well, your arm going to be sore. So I took some Epsom salt, put it on my arm every time I took a shower, and it disappeared. And I stayed before God, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And God didn't give me anything but that dream that he told me about. He showed it to me and everything, how everything happened. And I prefer to tell you in person or over the phone, not where, you know, because I have to tell you. But that's what the Lord gave me. He showed me how it began and how it started. He showed me everything, and God is a God that will not lie. And sure, we get things, we see things, but we don't say anything. Because sometimes it's not the right timing. Timing is everything. And so I thank God you didn't miss God at all.
Right.
And
wow.
He was just telling
awesome.
Me these things that I needed to see.
Interesting. That's so right. interesting. Awesome. So which one did you get? Did you get the one with the two shots or the one, or which one did you get?
The one, does it start with an F or something? I got the one that's
okay.
The two shots.
The two shot. Okay. Awesome. Wow.
And I didn't feel anything. I guess I was already prepared because I take vitamins anyway, 7 days a week, nonstop. I've
right,
been taking
right.
them
yeah,
for
yeah.
over 15, 16 years. So nothing ever really happened to me.
Right. Yeah. Me too. I haven't been sick at all. I'm not gonna take anything. I'm not gonna take the. I don't take any kind of thing shots because that's what God spoke to me about a long time ago. But I tell people, you know,
yeah.
I'm not telling people what to do or not what not to do. Just do whatever God tells you to do.
Right.
And I don't put people
well,
in the box.
Well, I did it because
them,
of my dad.
Yeah.
You know, he's 84
yeah.
or something like that. And because he's around a lot of people, and he has fluid on the lungs and stuff. They took him to the ER anyway, this while we were talking. And, you know, and because I'm around him and I don't know who he's been around, so I did it to protect him. And then plus I have a 10 grandbaby, you know that. So the block talk.
Yeah. Really. Well, that's cool. I don't see anything, you know, to me, that's just like, I'm glad we have somebody that can talk about it. You know, I think it's very interesting.
Right. I'm not afraid to talk out. I mean, I don't fear what man can do to me, and it doesn't bother me. But I did see the beginning of it in a vision, in a dream. And the Lord gave it to me. I left out all the details because I would tell you about it. But, you know, and I saw everything. And I'm like, I'm grateful because if you're silent, if you're still in that secret place, and you're at his feet, he's going to show you everything anyway. So.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I've been talking about that lately, about being in the secret place. The secret place isn't just hiding out. Sometimes the secret place is God showing you his secrets, you know, of any kind of any level. It could be anything. He could be showing you, you know, any kind of secret. I mean, it could be, you know, somebody else's
the
secret.
Hidden treasures.
Anything, yeah.
That he
hidden
has
treasures.
For
it could be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so hang on just a second here. Let me get a drink. Yeah, so, and when you're trusted with secrets, God will show you the secrets of people, too. He'll show you their secrets. He'll show you the things that they're struggling with and battling with to help them, not to expose them and call them a heathen.
Not to expose them and say ugly.
Right.
Yeah.
But to help them, yeah, to show their secrets so you can help them. And if he can trust you with the secret place stuff, man, you've gotten a lot done. So that's good.
Yeah. Amen. And, Randy, I appreciate you. I thank God for you sticking in there and not giving up because I thank God because he makes the protection, the provisions. He you know, he gives us the wisdom, the leadership. And he gives you all those treasures inside of you, that love, the peace, the joy. He gives you the secret thing that's hid. And that's what I love about him because he's been teaching me how to rest through pain, rest through, you know, all this stuff I had to go through. And pray day and night. You know, I'm grateful. So it's a blessing.
That's awesome, Barbara. I'm so proud of you. It's so good to hear from you. And hearing from your babies, also your daughters. And, you know, so looking forward to, you know, what God's going to do, what he shows us, and what we get to find out from him, that we listen to the Lord. And the Lord knows. I mean, people try to act like they know when they don't really know. You know, we have a lot of prophets who have said a lot of things that have not even come near.
True.
In fact, just the opposite happened, but so sad about all that.
Yes,
but yeah, God's raised up a new people. He's raised up new ministers. He's raised up new voices. So, you know, I think we're all part of that. I think we've been a part of it for a long time. And I think you're part of that, too. So I'm glad to hear from you. And
well, I got a thing to tell you, Randy.
A lot
of things that you have given me down through the years have come to pass after I cut some people off around in my little circle.
Oh.
I mean, I don't have anybody. But, you know, I begin to see things, and God has given me my new home, Prophet Randy.
Oh, my God.
And
when?
I had no money. I had no money. I had nothing. You hear me? I still don't. I just did it by faith. I said, I'm not giving up. I got me a 3-2 bedroom home, and I'm in Waxahachie, Texas. Yes, sir. I'm in the country.
Oh, what?
The historical
part.
I live downtown. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been to Waxahachie many times. I used to go there all the time, yeah. I used to kind of live in that area a long time ago, and Waxahachie is a nice little place. That's really cool.
Yes, sir. It was a miracle how it happened. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I imagine. Well, you'll have to tell us about it sometime. It's really cool.
Yeah, one day. It's a beautiful place. It's a lot of historical homes here. And when you're downtown, I'm like, oh, my God, I got so much to tell Randy. And I couldn't believe that I got it, but I did. I just did it by faith.
Right.
So. Yep, I said no money, no nothing, just faith and courage. I had a back bone.
Faith
then.
Incurred.
Got it
does
for
take
a little
courage,
bit of nothing.
It takes
yes,
courage
sir.
To step out of the supernatural. People don't realize they try to step out in their own courage into the supernatural realm, and it just doesn't work. We need to preach on that sometimes. People do that all the time. They think, well, I'm a courageous person. I'll step out, and they try in their own natural courage to try to step out into the supernatural realm with their own natural courage, and it just melts. It falls apart. It doesn't work. A mind, nobody has
mm-hmm.
supernatural courage to walk in the supernatural realm, and people don't realize that, and therefore they fail to stay in the supernatural realm, because once they sink a couple of times from their own, that's what Peter did. Peter kind of stepped out at first in the courage of the Spirit, because Jesus told him that when Jesus tells you, that's what gives you courage to walk in the supernatural. But when he got his eyes off the Lord and he started looking around and letting the storm speak to him, the storm all of a sudden. Jesus wasn't speaking to him anymore. Now the storm took over. Now the storm's going, I'm going to take you out, boy. You're going down. I'm going to suck you up. You're going out. And he went, ah. And he sunk, you know, because he kept trying to go on in his own courage. And when you do that, me, you, whoever it is, we sink, man. We got to keep our eyes on the courage giver, and that's the shepherd of the church for sure. And it sounds like you've been doing that, so that's really awesome. That's really great.
Yes,
well, I'm glad
sir.
To hear from you,
yeah.
girl. This is awesome. We'll have to talk about that sometime when you feel like it. Tell a little bit
yes,
of a story
sir.
Or whatever. So, awesome.
Thank you for your prayers, and
our,
thank you for giving us that opportunity as much as you have. And I just thank God. You know, he says signs and wonders shall follow them that love the Lord. So I thank God for you, and I thank God for others that have prayed. Down through the years, hanging in there.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. Barbara, thank you so much.
Love
dear. I appreciate it.
Tell Julie I love her, too.
Okay. I will do that. All right. Anybody else want to talk? Get your hand up. I've got nobody with their hand up right now. We've got just a few callers on tonight. We're in the attic. It's almost midnight. Getting close. It is about midnight. So if you want to talk tonight, get your hand up here, and I'm not going to come after you unless you raise your hand up. So if you want to do that, we got to talk to Barbara from Texas tonight, man. This is awesome. And Waxahachie got her a house. And Waxahachie, that's pretty cool. Waxahachie's a pretty cool place. I think they had a Bible school there in Waxahachie. I've been there a few times. Some of my kids used to do singing up there. And they had contests and all kinds of things for churches and that kind of stuff. So, all right. Nobody else wants to talk tonight? You want to get out? You know, I'll call it a night. It's almost midnight. So if I don't get to talk to anybody else tonight, we'll call it a night tonight. It is midnight, just about. So I'm going to give you a few minutes here to get your hand up there. All right. So I'll give you a minute to put your hand up. So, you know, hearing from Barbara tonight is so cool because I remember so many times, you know, how God used her and her testimonies and different things with her kids. You know, it's just, you know, I'm not surprised to hear God gave her a house because, you know, that girl walks by faith. And sometimes you have to learn how to walk at different levels of faith and what faith, walk by faith, what it really means. Sometimes when you walk by faith, the enemy hates you and tries to come after you with fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. Fear tries to rob you of your faith, tries to get your eyes. That's what it did with Peter. Peter got his faith robbed from him because he got his eyes off Jesus. As long as you have your eyes on Jesus, your faith cannot be robbed from you, right? But when you get your eyes on the storm and start hearing the storm roaring at you and you get your eyes on the storm, then what happens? Yeah, your fear, your faith gets replaced with fear, and fear always takes you down. So that's what happens when you step out of the boat into the water and you start trying to walk with God. And this is something that happens to all of us, including me, many times. Man, it's like, wow, this is so awesome, man. This is so awesome. I'm walking in the water. I'm walking in the supernatural. And then all of a sudden, you know, everything in the dog starts coming at you, intimidating you with family issues, with financial issues, with, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that, and condemnation, and I mean everything in the dark. As soon as you step out, you didn't really have those kind of any condemnation issues until you try to step out of the boat, right? And then here comes the fear, Like I say, here comes the judge, here comes the judge. Remember that old show? Here comes the judge. Well, here comes the fear, I'm telling you. And it'll come, and it's coming to take you out. It's coming to take you down. And it will do it if you yield to the fear. Doesn't mean you're going to hell, you know, because you yield to the fear temporarily. But you know what? Jesus is so glorious. One thing you find out when you walk by faith and you're stepping out of the boat and God knows you want to learn and you're wanting to, even when you do sink, he will come. He will get you, come rescue you. He will. He'll come rescue you, bring you back to the boat. Where was your faith at? He'll teach you. He'll rebuke you with such love. Where was your faith at, Peter? Where was your faith at, Randy? You know, here's how you got messed up is you got your eyes on fear and set your eyes on faith, on Jesus. Jesus is our faith, the author and finisher of our faith. So, friend, let me tell you something. If you think walking in the supernatural is going to be like dippity-doo-da, dippity-day, yeah, you're going to be dipping, all right. You're going to be sinking because if you don't understand that when you start trying to step out and walk on the water in the supernatural realm, that fear is starting to come towards you. In fact, most of the time you step out, his fear is already raging, but you've heard from God. When you hear from God, it's usually in the middle of a raging storm already. And if you don't recognize that, if you're going to wait till the storm ends before you step out, if you're going to wait till everything gets perfect, where there's no fear, there's no intimidation, there's no nothing, you're going to miss it, friend. You're going to miss it. Usually, faith is made. It's made. Listen to this. Your faith from God is made to weather a storm. Hallelujah. Yeah, in Jesus' name, so let it be done. All right, I guess either everybody that's on the show has gone to sleep on me or something. I'm not sure. That's okay. You know, I don't mind getting off at midnight. So, hallelujah. All right, we'll call it a night tonight. And I could go through 1 o'clock, but we're not going to get anybody with their hand up. I kept thinking, we had a couple of people had their hand up, and then they disappeared when I was talking to Barbara. And now they're, I guess it's getting late. People are saying, I got to go to bed. All right. So I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. Yeah, Barbara, we love you if you're still listening. And all my other friends listening tonight, we love you guys. Tomorrow night is the night where we prophesy over everybody. If you're aware of how we do that now, if you're brand new or maybe you just come back to see us, you know how we do it on Wednesdays. Now, on Wednesdays, I don't talk to anybody. I go from one number to the next, and I just prophesy one person after the other. And if I have, you know, 5 people or 50 people, I prophesy to every one of them. And it all happens within about a 2 to 3 hour period. And, yeah, no talking, just prophesying. I call one number, I mute them, prophesy to them, go to the next number, mute them, prophesy over them, go to the next number, mute them, prophesy. That's how we do it on Wednesdays. That's tomorrow night. So that's what a lot of people do now. They wait till Wednesday night to call in so we can just pray for them, prophesy over them. Because some people don't, they don't really, not ready to talk. They don't want to talk too much. They don't have too much to say. They just want to listen and learn. And when the courage comes to talk and speak about things, they'll do that. So Wednesdays is now a good time for that. All right. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. We're going to call it a night tonight. And it's been great. I'm always glad to move on and call the night. So we've been on for 3 hours. And we love it. We love you guys. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. Let's go here and end the show. What are we going to do? Give me 1 second here. Yeah. All right, let's go here. Okay. I'm going to do it. Here it is right here. All right. Good night, everybody. I found it, and nobody else lifted their hands, so I call it a night. Bye-bye.